This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So in the clip you'll hear coming up, we recap a pretty major moment in 98 Rock history. We celebrated our 40th on Tuesday, and it was during the former morning show. Josh, you were out that day. Scott, you were in, and you say, and I'm surprised to hear this, and it makes sense, but if it happened to me, I would have to still sit on a couch once a week to work through it. The greatest moment of your radio career, the spilling of the coffee on the board.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if greatest is the right word to use like I do, but maybe like the standout moment.
It's a big one.
Standout, because, I mean, it's hard to explain, and I've tried to explain it, but, you know, I was walking through the halls here one day, and I opened the door, and I bump into CC DeVille. It's like, oh, hey, CC DeVille's hanging out here.
Yeah.
Slash has been here. You know, we've had Gavin Rossdale here.
And we've, like, screamed at the mayor.
Chris Cornell. We've had the mayor. Stuff. We've done stuff. We've been places. It's like, and I'm not saying I'm jaded, but this is different. This was an accident that is like, A, one of the worst things that could possibly happen at a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
It happens once in a lifetime, and I sat 3 feet from it. And for me, it's just like a super standout moment. And as far as me having PTSD, I'm not the one that spilled the coffee. I really didn't have any kind of post-traumatic stress whatsoever.
That might be a good topic, though. Times you spilled something and destroyed a piece of electronic equipment. My sister just did that a couple weeks ago. Brand new laptop, $2,000 laptop.
Mm.
2 days later, spills a coffee right into the keyboard.
Mm. I've been told by Buck, prior to us being in a relationship, there was an iPad that a child got something on, maybe Dorito fingertips or something, and one of the children tried to wash the iPad. Mm. Yeah. And, yeah, obviously, you can guess what happens. But, yeah, to be in there in that moment, because we have stuff that goes wrong from time to time. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But we always have the option to go to another element. This isn't working. Fire the song. This sucks. Let's go to break. This isn't working out. Play a sound effect. We have options to move on. That day, you were chained to that moment. Equipment wasn't working. You physically couldn't move on to something.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, that's terrifying. You'll hear in the clip coming up, you'll hear Mickey, I don't know what to do here. Why don't we play a song, Amelia says. I can't play a song. This won't play. And meanwhile, there are tens, if not 100,000 plus people listening, riveted at that moment, because they want to hear how it plays out.
As yeah, of course.
Horrible as it sounds, it's amazing radio.
Yeah, and I mean, I've never gotten like super worked up about stuff like that, about like a flub on the air or like dead air or if something goes wrong. It's like, look, these things are going to happen. You know what I mean? This was an extreme example of that, but it's like, it was more of, I needed to take action. It's not like I was freaked out by the fact that we had dead air. I was freaked out by like not knowing what to do. It was just like, what do I do? And like Kerry said, you'll hear him coming up, he was driving back here, and it took him a couple hours. I was probably on the phone with him for a good hour of that. Like, I immediately called him, and it was just like, walk me through this. What do I do? Let's troubleshoot this. And it was like, bing, bang, boom. And within 15 minutes, 20 minutes, we were like back up on the air in, you know, these backup studios or whatever. And it was, he's, you'll hear in the story coming out, he's talking about the story, and I don't even remember much of it. I was just like kind of in, you know what I mean?
You were in, not I'd say panic mode, but you were in this clutch focused situation where I bet the world, your vision just sort of tunneled. This is the one thing I have to work on right now. I don't care about a guest. I don't care about a caller. I don't care about a prize. I don't care about a talk topic coming up. The board is on fire.
Yeah. It was awesome.
How do we do our radio show?
Right. Like, the board is on fire. How many people could say that an entire cup of coffee got spilled into the board and it was just smoking? Not a lot of radio people. How many radio people could say they met, you know, like Gavin Rossdale? A bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
How many people have, you know, been backstage? A bunch.
The best.
Ask them how many have had watched it. I mean, I was feet from it.
The best part for me is Mickey's voice. The tone of his voice
gets all like indignant.
It's absolute fear when the S hits the fan and you hear him like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the smoke started coming up.
It's a good moment.
It's an incredible moment.
I still think it's weird that we were sitting here, you know, just going over like the 40-year history of the station, and there's a lot of cool things that happened, and like we kind of ended up on that one. Just because it's such a strange moment.
A station that's been around as long as you've been alive, you just happen to intersect with a legendary moment of its existence and your existence at the exact same time. As we looked back on our 40-year history here on Tuesday, we ran back the coffee on the board incident. Give it a listen. I'm behind the curtain. I know we ran a little bit late here, Mike. We do have the clip. Do we want to hit it right here? Do we want to wait till after sports? How do you want to do this?
We've got enough time. Kerry Plackmire, the engineer that helped put the fire out, no pun intended, will be joining us here shortly. But I think we have time to squeeze in the audio.
We do. All right. This is it. If you're an old-time listener to the station, you'll remember this day very, very well. If you are new to the station because, well, our numbers are just increasing daily. this is some edited down audio of the coffee incident.
That looks like he's good enough to get there, and we're very pleased with him.
How come everybody's in racing? Right,
stop. Rewind.
Oh, God. I already got chills.
Just rewind.
Already got chills.
Go back to the beginning.
I'll go to the beginning.
Yeah, today's the 40th anniversary of 90 Rock. Happy 40th birthday. And that's real quick, right in the beginning. Listen carefully, because about 3 or 4 seconds in, I think we're in sports. That sounds like a sports clip, and then you'll hear a ding, and that is the coffee going into the board. This happened May 4th, 2012, and is one of the greatest moments in 90 Rock history, just because something like this does not happen every day.
Yeah. I can't wait to talk to Kerry about it. The science behind why the coffee was so destructive. Mike, do we have in this clip Keith excusing himself?
I think so.
It's one of my favorite parts. All right, here you go. Listen to the very beginning for the sound of porcelain hitting electronics. Josh.
Oh, I was just going to... Do you remember what time of the morning it was? I was off that day, unfortunately.
I mean, it was sports, so it was...
6:30, 7:30.
It was either 6:30, 7:30, 8:30. I don't know. That's
it's funny.
Question.
You were off that day, but I knew that I'd be in later.
Looks like he's good enough to get there, and we're very pleased with him.
How come everybody in racing... Everybody in racing talks like that.
Oh,
not good. We have a problem.
Oh, my.
And we're talking here. Oh, so anyway, Hamilton Smith, his horse done talking.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
What is that noise?
What's that noise?
Really?
Plackmire to the studio.
Now, it needs to be said, too, that Kerry Plackmire will join us. Was nowhere near the studio. He was hours away.
Mm. Might as well address it, I guess.
Coffee spilled.
Yeah.
Total accident.
Wow. Mm. That
was fun working here.
Oh. Yeah. We may have to move to the other studio temporarily.
I don't know what to do.
Well, why don't we explain what has happened here?
I just did. Coffee spilled.
Coffee was spilled onto the board.
Yeah.
And that static you hear is probably from...
I went car shopping that
the coffee.
Frying one of the wires.
So right. Why don't you go through and turn the program on and off and see which one's making the noise?
It won't go on and off.
Oh, really? Ooh.
Two, three.
Will not go.
And this one. Right here.
Okay, so it's one of those. All right.
The melting sounds like it's slowing down a little bit. The crinkling.
By the way, before we have memos and all this stuff that's going to go around now, and I'm a big idiot, 9 years I've worked here.
Yeah.
I've never, ever spilled anything.
I'm shocked it's taken this long.
This is just a friendly reminder that we do not have drinks around the board. Is that the memo?
That is the memo.
Hey, everyone, it's Dave Hill. Just want to let you know, no drinks around the board.
What I'm really worried about is this one. No, we can bring that up over here if we need to.
Yeah.
The majority of the spillage was right there in the middle. Yeah. The important part was right where it spilt.
Ooh.
And I heard it and then smelled it.
Mm.
Oh, this is not good.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Damn. What do we do?
Sarah.
I don't even know what to do.
Sarah's going to be furious at you.
I don't have my headphones.
All right, this one's
No, the crinkling's
now.
Done.
The crinkling's done. That's all a slight no. crinkle.
Chris, well, just leave it. Chris don't crinkle. Touch it. Just leave it. Well, doesn't matter no, if it's
I
on wanna, or off.
I got to make a little report here.
Yeah.
Just bear with me.
Discrepancy report. You know, you may get 2 weeks suspended with pay.
Okay, we got Superfly coming through. Appears to only be on the right, though, or the left. Mm.
That might be. No, that's be, you know what? You're right. That's because it's an old song.
It's in mono.
Yeah. Hold on.
Oh! Oh!
What? Smoke!
Oh, no.
Oh, damn.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. There's smoke coming out of the
You know what, Mickey? Why don't you put a
console.
Song on? And let's take care of this, and we'll be right back. It is a 98 Rock Morning Show.
All right, well, hold on. Let me get
There's
a song.
There's a fire. There's a fire in here. Smoke!
Oh, my God. This is not good.
Smoke! There's smoke!
Stop it, lol.
Oh, yeah. Keep going.
I don't know.
Oh. Mick, help.
Lift that up.
Lift it up. Well, be careful.
Now let it go. Wait, let it go. Let it go. Wait, put it down. I don't know if we're in the air.
Smoking.
God bless.
Wow, that's amazing.
Wow.
That's great.
Wow.
May 4th, 2012. Mickey spilled an entire cup of coffee into the board. Probably the greatest moment of my radio career. It was just amazing.
That was a day
Lowell was yelling smoke. Lowell was in for Spiegel that day, and he was yelling smoke. But he wasn't being overly dramatic. There was,
smoke
pouring out of the board. Like billowing.
Like I heard thick
of,
smoke.
Yes.
Like you can't see through it
to
kind
the
of
point
smoke.
Where we were panicking. You hear a fire extinguisher. I tested a fire extinguisher as a last resort, because you don't want to be, you know, hitting the board with that. It clogs stuff up. But
was it a powder one or was it a liquid one?
I think all the ones in the studios are powder, because you don't want to be shooting liquid all over the place. But even still, you don't want to be doing that. But, I mean, if flames were going to start billowing out of that thing, hey, no, we had no other choice. Yeah, that was a moment.
Wow.
That was a moment.
Maybe after we come back from sports with Mills. Oh, woo! Damn, we didn't have the part where Mills bailed, too. That's what I like, because Mills goes, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here now, and I'll talk to you. Boy, he tucked and rolled real quick. All right, so coming up out of sports with Mills, we're going to talk to Chief Engineer Kerry Plackmeyer about that fateful day, the difficulties in getting us back on the air, getting everything fixed. Oh, just one more time.
So tense listening to that.
We should also hypothesize, what would have happened if Josh was in studio that day? How would he have reacted had he not been off when he heard this happen?
Looks like he's good enough to get there, and we're very pleased with it.
How come everybody in racing?
Keith Mills.
Hey, Keith.
Yes.
One, two.
Introduce our special guest, would you?
He's not, we're not bringing him in
Why
just
not?
Yet. Why don't you let me run the damn show just
because
for one
you gotta
day.
Do it the right
just
way, for God's sake. He's sitting here. What the hell?
Keith, we know what we're doing. We know what we're doing.
I'm clueless.
Legendary. Come on.
Yeah,
hey, Kerry, how are you?
Kerry Plackmeyer in here, chief engineer. He's going to be.
Hey, morning, but hey, hold on for 1 second.
Right. Hey, everybody. It's the Keith Mills Show.
He'll be joining, Kerry will be joining us after sports.
Oh, come on, man.
To help, you know, recap 98 Rock history. It's
Absolutely.
The big 4-0 today, the station
That's pretty
turns.
Cool, man.
And we just played the audio from here. You play Millsy just the beginning. You were playing some sports sound, Keith, when one of the greatest moments of our career happened.
Oh, okay.
When a whole cup of coffee got spilled on the board.
Oh, man.
Looks like he's good enough to get there, and we're very pleased with it.
How come everybody in racing everybody in racing talks like that?
Gary's expression.
Would you, not good.
Not good.
Gary had his eyes closed.
And it's,
he was immediately transported back to that moment.
I hate hearing that. Well, I'm just trying to. I can't really find the right words to. It seems like a weird moment to make, you know, such a standout moment in 98 Rock's history. But, you know, there have been rock stars in and out of these doors. We've been to a million concerts. You know, we've done so much stuff.
Traveled internationally.
And, you know, with the fans and everything. But that only happens, knock on wood, once. That is... Yeah.
I will never forget. What was it, Kara?
That's a moment.
That happened on a Thursday or Friday?
It was a Friday morning.
I remember coming in to do Saturday Huddle on Saturday.
Oh, you saw Kara.
And you guys had
every stripped.
The thing was just completely field stripped.
I was mesmerized at that. I walked out of there thinking, oh my, how do you do that?
Hold on 1 second. Let's see if we have him. Jim, are you there, bud? Jim Russ with traffic. You there, Jimbo? He was telling me a story off air. Oh, Jim, you might not be there. Maybe we'll grab Jim when we get done with sports.
Traffic.
He was a good man.
He was a good person. Hold on. Where?
How long did it take you to put that back together, Kara?
Hey, I'm here. We had it back on the air Saturday afternoon.
Oh,
wow. Which was amazing. Man. We'll get to that.
Jim Russ joining us on the show. Jim, good morning, buddy.
Hi.
Hey, you were telling us off air. Keith was saying you saw everything stripped. People scurrying, running that morning. Recall what you were telling me.
Well, I tune in, getting ready to do a traffic report, and I hear basically Lowell yelling, "Smoke, smoke!" I'm like, what is going on over there? And then it becomes obvious what happened. And when the board fries out, everybody scatters, and they go into different studios all on the third floor here. So there isn't a vacant production studio after this happens. Well, Fred Bielfeld, who is the outgoing city police commissioner, was here doing his farewell tour.
Yes.
And he's waiting to go on the air with you guys.
Yes.
Meanwhile, all these people are running for their lives to find some place to go on the air. So there's all this high-level brass.
That's right.
The city police department.
I think we interviewed Fred Bielfeld.
Run! 98 Rocks burning to the ground.
The little studio.
In between, producer studio.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Yes.
There used to be a live mic in there.
Yep.
And so that's where he went on the air. I had to go in there to do your traffic, so I'm talking over his shoulder while he's waiting to go.
Fred got a kick out of it. Fred goes, hey, good thing things happen like this elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember much of it, but I think I was on the phone with you, Kara, obviously.
Thank you, Jim.
I think I had called you while you were in the car driving back, and then between you and me, we somehow troubleshot the situation and got us back on the air for the next break. Like Jim said, patchworking two or three studios together.
Yes.
God,
that's
that was
exactly what happened.
We actually have more audio from that day if you'd like to hear it. Just a quick thing.
Yeah,
how long is this?
Quick.
It's about 14 seconds. Hold on, here we go.
I think I smell some smoke back here. Fire!
Oh, man, that was a dark day.
There was an inferno in there! An inferno!
And we have in studio with us our chief engineer, Kara Plackmire, who has quite the history here. You've been here how long?
I'm not the chief engineer.
I always get your title wrong. What is it?
I used to be your chief engineer. We hired Drew to take my place.
You're captain fixer person.
Now?
I moved across the hall. I work for mostly TV now, and I am the assistant director of engineering.
You're the guy that goes to locations when we've never been to them before, sometimes domestically, sometimes internationally, to set up involved multi-day broadcast. We're going to go to the Dominican. Yeah. We're going to go to Mexico. Please go there ahead of time and set everything up.
Yeah, I still do some of that. I am working the Cardinal Keeler funeral today.
Well, this fateful day, the audio of which we've been playing.
Looks like he's good enough to get there, and we're very pleased with it.
How come everybody's racing?
You were where when that happened?
23 years to answer his question, how long I've been here.
23 years. Hey, there you go. Here's to another three.
So I was in Ocean City doing a site survey for the first Beach Bash.
Right.
So I was down with Steve Huber and some of the Raven staff and Lori Smith.
Mm-hmm. And we all know how workday in Ocean City goes. You get your stuff done, and then it's time for dinner. And with dinner comes some cocktails. So let's say Thursday night, workday's over, you guys are enjoying Ocean City.
Pretty much.
And
had a few drinks.
Of course.
Am I correct also that your work at this point, not just for the day, but for the week, had been
We had a couple of things to check on like late Friday morning, early afternoon.
But the bulk of the work was done, so it's time to let your hair down. Hey, good job, guys. Margaritas on Kara.
We had really, you know, gotten things together and worked really hard on Thursday to get things done as quickly as we could.
Long story short, you're drunk as on down at OC.
Well, nope. not entirely, but I wasn't.
He was a mess.
Yeah.
Let's just say you had a few more hours of sleeping to do on Friday morning when the phone rang.
Correct. Yes. Which was 6:30, by the way. You guys were talking earlier about what time in the morning
was. Yeah, it was
6:30 because I hadn't planned on being up until probably 9 or 10.
Right.
So the phone rings. And there's panic in Scott's voice. It's like, there's smoke coming out of the board, and we don't know what to do.
We got something happening here.
Like, there's smoke coming out of the board.
God, I barely even remember making that phone call.
And I, like, instantly I'm awake. It's like, bing. And I said, you know, under the furniture, lower rack to the left, there's two big power supplies. Turn them off. And you said something to me about, like, won't that take us off the air? I'm like, yes, turn it off.
Do it. A little dead air versus tens of thousands of dollars of fried equipment.
Turn it off.
And Steve Huber in Ocean City was with you. He's a music director and would sometimes lend you a hand as sort of a little de facto engineer because he knows the equipment very well.
Yes.
And he tells the story beautifully of him waking up going, why the hell is Carrie running around so much? He describes you opening a door with such fury that the hinges pulled the screws out of the door well. Where essentially, like, I gotta go to Baltimore! You're pulling doors clean out of the frame.
I was supposed to give him, he and I had ridden down together and we were going to ride back together as well. And I go in and his first reaction is, why is he making so much noise at this time of the morning? I was on the phone, but I'm not being quiet about it because I'm on the phone with it under my, you know, my shoulder, and I'm trying to pack at the same time because I need to get in the car and get back here. And, you know, Steve's like, what's going on? I'm like, you need to find a ride back to Baltimore unless you want to get dressed right now.
Damn.
He's like, what? I'm like,
and you probably met, I mean, you definitely set the record for best time.
Land speed record. I heard you got to Ocean City to Baltimore in an hour and 40 minutes.
Nobody has done it. I don't care. Don't call. He said it. That morning, that was the quickest trip ever.
Red light, you. Cop, you. Median strips, you. Don't care.
It's amazing on a Friday morning how little traffic there is.
Yeah, especially when you're in the generally, let's do this, boys! So you know that your life... Now, talk to me about that car ride, because it's not like you're driving from where you live in the city to here now, where it's mere minutes. You're in the car for, I'm just going to rough estimate, 2 hours.
It was 2 hours.
Did you listen? You couldn't have listened to any music. Was that a dead silent
car ride? I was on the phone.
Ride?
I was on the phone the whole time. Okay. I was on the phone. So back here, Brian Harz, who's our technician, our maintenance technician for the engineering department, he had gotten into the station, and he's laying on the floor at this point in the coffee-soaked carpet. So his back and head is all soaking wet in coffee. And my boss, Jeff Halapin, who's the director of engineering, is in here helping him. And they're trying to remove modules. At this point, everybody's gotten into auxiliary studios. We didn't have, as I recall anyway, the production studio now that can be where you guys were for 7 or 8 months or however long it was.
For those that don't know, we have a big main studio that we broadcast from, and there's a bunch of tiny little studios that just have maybe one mic, maybe two, where we can take a guest into to record. We can record some fun stuff. Josh will do his stuff for news now and then. But they're not meant to be broadcast and to do shows from, but in a moment like that, you have to retrofit them.
Right. And today we have a backup studio, but then we didn't. So you guys were in like two or three different rooms because there was no room big enough. So you couldn't even see each other, but you're talking to each other. So they had arranged all that. So we were back on the air. But in the meantime, we have this console that at the time was scheduled to be replaced. It was bought in 1996. So it's old. There are no longer really parts available for it. So it's to be determined, how bad is this? It's, you know, can we repair what we have, or do we need to now go out and buy? And these consoles, you don't go to Guitar Center and buy these broadcast consoles.
They got to build them.
They have to build them to order. So you order one, and it takes 2 months to get one. So, you know, what are we going to do? You know, is it repairable? Can we fix it?
Cannibalize parts from other places around here?
And long story short, it turns out you got lucky, right? You called Wheatstone, and they happen to have the one remaining piece on Earth that you needed.
And we had one in stock from a previous spill that was not as catastrophic, but we had preemptively bought. It's a backplane. The modules, the little faders, all slide into.
Don't get too techy on us,
people. They plug into a plug, and the plugs that they plug into is the board on
you
the back.
You found
right?
the stuff by the grace of God himself to put
this
pipe back
together. It
would have
cost 15 grand, but it ended up costing like five or something.
We spent all in, it was about $5,000.
Yeah.
And we had it back on the air. This happened on a Friday morning. Wheatstone had one. They had to put a connector on it. They put the connector on it. They overdynamed it to us for Saturday delivery.
Got here Saturday.
Got here Saturday. We had it back on the air Saturday afternoon.
Come on.
Here's a guy.
This guy is who he is.
Now, let me ask also, how quickly did it make its way up the corporate chain outside of this building? Because we have masters we're beholden to in New York and other states. That how quickly did they find out?
I'm not sure about on a corporate level, either engineering or upper management on the corporate level side. But I will tell you that the audio clip, thanks to the internet, Wheatstone, the manufacturer of the audio board, and tons of engineering like Facebook pages and bulletin boards and things like that, it spread like wildfire. There are people, I work in a business that's fun, it's cool,
That this is like their life,
I will meet people at conferences, and I've been at conventions where
they'll read your little, and they
know who I am because of this.
What?
Because of this, right here.
How come everybody in racing?
Right there, they'll see 98 Rock, Kerry Plackmeyer, Baltimore. You're the dude that had the cup of coffee spill.
And it happened in a facility that I was responsible for at the time. Brian did the worst part of the work, and Jeff did a lot of it too. And then Jeff came in on Saturday and help me out.
I said, there's rock stars interviewed every single day, 1,000 times a day in this country. But that's radio history for, you just said, millions of engineers around the country.
And we still have back in the radio engineering shop on the wall in a frame is that piece that Wheatstone had. The original one that's all burned
that's
up.
That's all front. Can we get photos of that to put on for some? Because we're always gaining new listeners. Well, I'd love for them to see this on our social media.
And it says like 5,000 reasons not to have coffee in the studio.
Yeah, I want to see that. Bring it in here. But you've been here 23 years. Just quickly, if you could, in your mind, I want to put you on the spot, but you produced KML for a number of years.
Before that, I came here to produce Bird, Mark, and Lopez in 95. Yep. Did that for 2 years. Then Kirk moved to the morning show. I did Kirk, Mark, and Lopez until the end of 2000. And then I moved to operations, then engineering, and then...
So you have some great memories in this building.
It's been amazing. We've renovated the whole building. I've seen and met just hundreds and hundreds of people that, it all blurs.
Isn't it sad how it all blurs? I wish I had more distinct memories.
And
I don't.
And I don't get caught up in the moment. Like, my oldest sister is 15 years older than me, and she was on the radio in St. Louis, where I'm from.
Yeah.
So when I was in middle school, she was on, like, the hit radio station as the news person. And, she was a local celebrity. And I'm like, no, she's a bitch. Your sister's Karen Vale? Like, no, my sister's kind of a bitch.
Yeah, she's still sassy.
Yeah. So you
learned to never.
I didn't care. Yeah. And she'd take me in. They used to work Saturdays. They would work. They'd host their own best of shows on Saturdays. So I'd go in with her a lot on Saturdays. And they'd have guests come in. So I met a lot of people when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. And it never mattered to me. So I never got caught up in it, and now I kind of looking back over the 23 years here, and then another 3 or 4 years in radio before I got here, and I never cared. It was like occasionally I get a picture with somebody, but I never really kept track. I never got pictures.
You can't recall a moment where you just got overwhelmed with being starstruck.
Not really. I mean,
some great on air moments.
Some
like
really
with KML.
One of my favorite on air moments.
I got steamed up for Lester Holt.
Was when
did
you?
Yeah, when he came in. That was awesome.
It wasn't. So I wasn't. I liked the guy. Penn and Teller were in town.
Yeah,
Penn Jillette came in, and we were auditioning for sports guys. Mark Viviano had left. Mark Viviano used to be. He's across the street now.
Yeah,
he used to be our morning sports guy. He used to be our Keith Mills. Yeah. He left to go to CNNSI when they started that network, and we were auditioning new sports guys. And I can't remember who the guy was, but Penn Jillette was in as a guest that morning. So this guy's reading from a script, and Penn Jillette is standing with a microphone in his hand up in front of the guy going, "Read the sports! Read it! Read it! Why do you have to read from a script? Why are you reading from a script? You'll never make it in this business! You're terrible! You're terrible!" And if you can imagine, Penn Jillette...
Yeah, he's a gigantic man.
The guy was trembling, and he's like, "Another sports." And the guy gone, never came back.
Never
and that was
to
just
return.
Like, oh my God! Yeah. So that was a great moment.
Oh, Kerry, thank you so much for getting us back on the air that fateful day, when not only did we hear it, but we also smelled the What is that right here?
Smoke.
This is not good.
What?
Smoke.
What?
There's smoke.
Oh,
smoke.
Smoke. All right. 40th anniversary, 98 Rock. Thank God we're still in the air and didn't flip to smooth jazz that day.
It's time to go behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel. And Josh did a story, I believe it was on Tuesday, and you'll hear me in this clip coming up. I go a little ham because it involves a long-standing feud with myself and the people that work at the TSA. There was a video that was shown online. Maybe we even have a link to it at 98online.com. It's of a young boy, special needs. He has sort of a sensory disorder where, sounds might be louder, touch is more, he feels it more. And he's given an inspection by a TSA agent that's excessive, to say the least. Real thorough. He's feeling this kid's back up and down.
Is it, though?
Yeah. Is it, though? Yeah, I got to go, yeah. I gotta go. Yeah.
If you go to our Facebook page, a lot of people came to the defense of that TSA agent, saying that's your
standard operating
standard,
procedure.
A standard pat down.
I was surprised by that. That a lot of people are
the vast majority of people defend.
Well, I think you'll hear me in the break coming up. And I don't know where I fell on this, because I have a child, and you got to try to put yourself in the position of that parent. But I was kind of playing devil's advocate, and I was flip flopping back and forth from side to side,
seeing all angles.
And, part of me was like, hey, this guy's just doing his job, man. Like, that's the society we live in now. That these things are going to happen, and the people are going to get patted down. And apparently that's what it looks like.
Because I've seen many security scans from all of my travels. I flew a ton. And there's just no consistency across the board. Here, Mike, stand up.
Didn't they say that this is now,
new? Yeah, they've got new one uniform.
I mean, I flew in January, and I saw where these,
new uniform pat down.
I saw these, I didn't get a pat down, but I saw this flying out of BW. I just saw, arm, you're good. And that's it. I mean,
this is new. This is a new thing. Apparently that wasn't thorough enough.
Yeah.
Oh, it's when the dude's putting his hand inside of the kid's, like, the rim of his pants.
Yeah, it seemed excessive. It seemed very intrusive.
You know what I think the other issue was? That guy looked a little creepy. The TSA agent.
Yeah, let's call it as we see it. The dude that did it had kind of a Gary Glitter look to him.
So if you take the video, Mike, edit it and put in like somebody,
Chrissy Teigen,
that looks like you.
Yeah.
Or
is
like
it different?
I think it would be.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the guy looks...
The guy looks what he looks like, man. He can't help that.
Well, I know.
Yeah, but he's kind of... Mike's got a point. If you said, hey, draw a pedophile, he might not look too different than this dude.
If it was an adult getting frisked, then would the same thing apply?
He'd still look creepy. Yeah, I think he'd still agree. Maybe not as much because the kid is a kid. And then you add that scoop of special needs on top of it. I could see if that is the way they're doing it for everyone now. Okay, but I'm gonna need to see some other examples of some people getting felt up, especially at our own BWI.
Have TSA people in here?
Oh, you better put them on the other side of the glass from my ass.
Why don't we get them in here? We'll interview them.
Mike, get some TSA people. That's actually a genuinely good suggestion. Get some TSA people.
You've had a problem with them for years. Spiegel hates them and wishes death upon them every time he travels.
No, I don't wish death upon them.
I don't wish death, but I think they should fire everyone.
And now we got this thing with the new pat down thing. Everybody's all freaking out. Let's see if we can get a representative on the air and maybe get somebody down here to demonstrate the new. They'll pat you down, Mike.
I'll hide a bomb in my ass, see if they can find it. They're going to put their hand near my ass. I'm going to fart all over their fingers.
Ew.
Coming up, some kid got inspected thoroughly by a TSA agent. I'm behind the curtain.
It's a shocking video. A TSA agent at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport patting down a 13-year-old boy with special needs. The pat-down was beyond thorough. The kid is wearing shorts and a T-shirt, but the agent spends 2 minutes feeling him up and down. The boy's mother asked for alternative screening because he has what's described as a sensory processing disorder. She says they were treated like dogs and were held by the TSA more than an hour. They missed their flight. TSA says the mother and son were actually at the checkpoint only 35 minutes, and the TSA insists it followed approved procedures to resolve an alarm of the passenger's laptop. The TSA says the procedures met new pat-down standards that went into effect this month. Instead of several different kinds of pat-downs, now there's just one creepy full-body pat-down.
All
right, guys, welcome to the TSA Day 1, Chapter 1 Training Procedure. I'm going to be your instructor, Mr. Johnsworth. All right, what we're going to do here is we're going to use a little doll for a training procedure. This doll is shaped like a 12-year-old boy. First thing you want to do is touch his ass a ton. And I mean a lot. Right when you think you've touched your ass enough, think that you're only about halfway there. Once you finish touching the kid's butt, work around to the front, right in his tender area, and just continue to go back and forth across it, back and forth. Looking good back there, Carl. Keep feeling his ass up. All right, then you're going to want to take your hands and just sort of glide him up and down on his back like you go to Bangkok for vacation two or three times a year for some of those sketchy red light district looking trips. Now be sure to take your fingers and run him around the inside of his belt loop.
This kid's getting felt up.
Yeah, it's I couldn't believe my eyes.
This
but apparently that's
disgusting.
What they do now. That's the new...
That's
what they say.
TSA, you suck. I've been through you 100 times and you sucked every time and you'll continue to suck. I've got better service at an inner city fast food place that's not a chain. And like one of the ones that serve lake trout. Their service is better than the swill you guys deliver.
The kid is wearing a t-shirt and shorts and... It just seems like it's really excessive.
I remember the last TSA agent over BWI, who I believe with the huge gold bangle earrings kept screaming to another coworker within eyeshot, but at least 10 yards away, "I gets mine." That's what I told him. "I gets mine." And then proceeded to just feel up this like 80-year-old lady. You stink. Fire everyone and start over again. This video, it's as bad as we're making it out to be. This dude, he still has a job.
As far as I know, because the TSA is defending itself. They say
that's what I mean.
Procedures.
That's what was amazed. Yeah. Like, but when you led with that, I was like, okay, well then this is apparently okay. And they're defending it. They're doubling down and saying, hey, look, this is what we do. And look, I get it. The kid's 13 and he might have some sort of disorder, but like, you know, what if it was just a 40-year-old dude, or what if it was a grown woman, or, I mean, where do you draw the line?
What this dude's thoroughness would have been creepy on anyone. Age, race, height, gender, whatever. The guy just kept going over the same spots. It's just an extra level of sinister that is a young kid with a special needs situation.
Yeah, you could see the video on the 98 Rock.
Yeah, and it has, the video is attached to her post where her, like, you paraphrased what she wrote underneath it, but it's just pretty alarming. It says, you know, she says that he set off no alarms. He physically did not alarm at all during the screening. He passed through the detector just fine.
I'm taking buses from now on.
And then they just pulled him aside and she told him, he's like, look, he's got some mental issues. Can we find another way to do this? They just ignored that and gave this kid the most thorough pat down I've ever effing seen.
Or how about any of my children, none of which suffer from any sort of special needs issue. Don't just run your hands back and forth across their ass over and over again like there's a time bomb in there.
Hey, they have apparently seen the video and they're standing by it. So that's their procedure, which is...
Ugh. UTSA, you stink. Your people are garbage. Your website and your social media accounts are a lie. Because I'm looking at all of the people on there. I ain't never seen anybody involved in any of my travels that work for the TSA that look like any of these Abercrombie and Fitch models. Okay, there's someone with a glop of Thousand Island dressing and the stubble right above their awful crusty lip in an ill-fitting uniform.
Here, part of her caption to the video says, I wish I had taped the entire interchange because it was horrifying. We had two DFW police officers that were called and flanking him on each side. Somehow these power tripping TSA agents who are traumatizing children and doing whatever they feel like without any cause need to be reined in.
Oh,
wow.
All right, guys, just in case the mom starts to freak out at any point because you've got half your hand down the crack of this kid's ass, be sure to bring over an additional 2 or 3 agents, whatever you so determine is efficient, and taser. Just give her a real good 5,000 volts and let her hit the ground while we continue to slide our hands up and down this kid's back, looking for a weapon that Ray Charles could tell doesn't exist.
Now, I'm looking at this agent, and I have 3 things. Like, is this guy just following protocol and doing what he's supposed to do? And he's, you know, he's just, look, I'm not happy about it, you're not happy about it, but this is what I got to do. Is he power tripping a little bit?
Yeah.
Or C, is he getting his jollies off?
Oh, you think this guy's doing that to like a Suge Knight looking character? Hell no. I think this dude, I mean, I hate to judge a book by its cover.
That's what I mean. You can't draw that conclusion. You can't say, I think this dude is getting his jollies off. Because you don't know.
I don't know. You cut this dude's face off and you superimpose it onto anyone on To Catch a Predator. I'm just saying, the guy's got a bit of a look about him.
And if they come to you and you're a TSA agent and this is your job and they say, this is our new, this is the new way of doing things here. This is how we're patting people down now. Do you go, what do you stand up and go, all right, I'm out. I quit. Or do you do what you got to do?
I mean, I get that.
I mean,
like,
I'm kind of playing devil's advocate. I'm flip-flopping here, but I'm just trying to look at all angles.
No, I get exactly what you're saying. Like, in an effort for this agency to try and keep us safe because of the rigors of air travel, all that got started with 9/11 forward, you got to make sure. But there also needs to be a sense of common sense. And yep. This is a small boy with tight-fitting clothes on, by the way. That oh,
and what is
hiding?
SPD? He has SPD.
Sensory processing disorder.
Yeah. So, yeah, a little common sense. I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, this TSA agent's got schnitzel disorder.
It is thorough.
Yeah, disgusting lump with your belt buckle all high up above your navel. You're disgusting. He's feeling this kid. The final 5 seconds of the video. If I'm a dad.
Sometimes people hide their some stuff by their ween.
Dropkick city, bitch. I'm taking a running missile.
Yeah,
drop
if I
kick.
Was standing 5 feet from this and that was my daughter, I would not be able to bite my tongue.
Yeah,
I would not be able to bite my tongue. I would be yelling at this dude. Dude, what? Really? Like, what are you doing? Is this? I would call somebody over. I would be screaming at this guy.
I can't imagine any parent.
Watching.
That to happen.
Oh my god! I would be. Yeah, I would be irate.
I have a dog. I would not let that happen to my dog.
Those conveyor belts, I've always wanted to powerbomb somebody through one. Straight up Kevin Nash jackknife powerbomb. If some dude did that to Evan, the way he was hitting that kid in the last 5 seconds, tilt-a-whirl slam.
Well, we're going to Dallas to confront this TSA officer.
Game. Mike, gas up the car. Get Spiegel 1 prepared.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Office hygiene, trimming your nails, flossing at your desk, cleaning the earwax out of your ears with a Q-tip. We just talked about a conversation that we had, you know, when and when not to. And I'll say this. Here's another one from the people that were giving you guff across the hall, BAL, about digging around in your Q-tip, digging around your ears with a Q-tip. I can't tell you how many times I go in there, and that room reeks of Icy Hot. Someone in there is glopping up the mentholyptus or like a Vicks Vapor Rub. I don't know who it is, but someone is covering themselves in Flexol 454 in there, and it's disgusting.
I was like thinking of something to say. I don't know what to say to that. You know, I know who it is. Who do you think it is?
I don't know. No, I really don't. Is it? It's not Vanko.
Well, no, Vanko's not in there at that time.
He's floating around. He starts to roll in. Oh, no, it's not. Who's the kid? Who's the dude with this thing going on?
No. Mike, if you had to, who would be the one?
I would guess.
Who has just started physical activity?
Ann Kramer.
Well, she's working out a lot. What's nothing wrong with that? You work out, you get sore. You lube up.
Liberally, though. I mean, liberal amounts of that
why
stuff.
Why does it have to smell like that? Can't they give it a different odor?
If you go back, there are...
Like ammonia.
I mean, just go to the shelf and, you know, and they say odorless. But it's never odorless.
What if you go over there and it's Robert Lang and he's putting it on toast?
Well, that was the other one. Robert Lang, he runs a lot on bread. Now. He's a runner, so I thought it might be him as well.
I swear they make it smell like that just so you think there's something in it. Because it's not, like, technically it doesn't really do anything, right?
I feel like, no, there's a heating element to it. I've used Flexol before when I jacked up my ankle. Which, by the way, I didn't realize you needed to actually add cold to an ankle. And if you sprained an ankle and then put Flexol on it, it just make it swell. I'm a moron. So, we talked about it. Office grooming habits, trimming your toenails, plucking your boogers out of your nostrils, all kinds of crap. Behind the curtain. Oh, yeah. And the reason I say, Josh, you look rather nice. Your nails look trimmed.
Oh, yes.
Looks like your teeth have been properly flossed.
So... what do you want from me?
Funny you should say that. What I want from you, now, if you'll give it to me, if you'll humor me, Josh, is your opinion!
Oh, okay. Thought you wanted my
car,
the big sweaty
first car.
Grooming at work. We started talking about this yesterday. The act of like clipping your nails, hitting yourself with a Q-tip, flossing at work is apparently frowned upon by some people. Let's just not say exactly who, but you know, you got into a little a mild back and forth. Or
that wasn't even over flossing.
That was that over was, Q-tipping.
Yeah, which I think is a lesser offense. I reached into Mike's overhead. We got a little bin of Q-tips. Which I would love a couple right now, Mike, if you wouldn't
Heck
mind.
Yeah.
When I, you know what it is? When I talk about the Q-tips, I want a Q-tip.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was, you know, seeing what was what with the ears. And I walked over as I was doing it, just strolled into the BAL AM newsroom.
Oh, I got some in here.
There's Scott Wyckoff is and Brian Neiman and Ann Kramer and everybody over there.
French Vanilla
and,
Kramer.
I won't say who, but somebody was like, take care of your personal hygiene. And I was like, relax. Relax. I got a Q-tip in my ear.
It's good.
But yeah, then that spirals out into a bigger discussion. I clip my nails at work. I clip them right here at this chair. Right,
and
in front
Mike
of this microphone
and I
lot.
Had different reactions to you doing that. He says that he hears
sound.
You clipping the nails and he gets a shudder. And you just talking about Q-tips wants to make you Q-tip. I hear you clicking your nails over there, and all I want to do is like, I got next. I want to do it also. Even if my nails are all the way down, I want to trim away at the cuticle.
And then I also have you know, some dental work, and sometimes, you know, along with that comes some little spots in your mouth where food can gather. So in my desk, I do keep a thing of floss. And if I got a, you know, feeling something, mm-hmm. I feel uncomfortable, I feel a chunk,
mm-hmm.
I've been known to floss at work. So I do the ear, I do all my grooming at work, basically.
Basically, ears, Scott cleans himself at
nails,
work. Bleaching.
And flossing, mm-hmm. all here, and I don't care.
Yes. Rectal buffering, yes. Shaft,
like right now, look.
Exfoliating.
Checking,
oh, yeah.
checking that
Ugh.
Left ear.
Ugh,
is this gross?
There.
Speaks, look over.
Yeah, kind of.
Why is this so gross?
Okay, no. Here's the thing. Let me frame it for you. The act itself is not gross. Much in the same way flossing is not gross. And I brought this up yesterday. I love my father, but the way he flosses is disgusting. Because he'll get a nice floss, the way we all do. But then he's done, he starts going, and then like sucks the string
yeah, see,
dry.
That's gross.
And you're like, oh, God.
I don't do any of that.
Yeah, it's if you pulled that Q-tip out and you like, hold it up in the air, or you sniff it, or...
Well, you gotta look.
You gotta, like, but I mean, like, you can look, but you don't need to present it like Simba at the edge of the cliff for all to see whatever weird thoughts you pulled out of your head. It's how you pull it off.
You know, you're really not even supposed to stick a Q-tip all the way into your ear.
Ugh. Yeah, I accidentally went too far the other day.
A disservice.
That is the worst feeling in the world.
What was that?
I said I went too far.
Oh, you tapped the drum?
Yeah, I'm usually pretty good about it, but I went a little too far, and God, that's awful.
Oh, you know what's wild? We're having Evan's ear tested, his hearing tested soon, and we're around family, and we're talking about getting his hearing checked out because he just doesn't respond to anything at this point. And one of Buck's family members were talking about when they were a kid, and they got their ear looked at by a doctor. They went in there because there was blockage, like he couldn't hear out of his left ear, and they went in there and they pulled out a chunk of Q-tip cotton the size of a garbanzo bean.
See?
That must have been in there for years. Says he thought he had the hearing of a wolf when they pulled that thing out of there finally. Said he had never known his hearing was so bad because he Q-tipped his ears so deep and so thoroughly that he had a cotton buildup. When they finally plucked those nuggets out of there, he feels like he could hear people whisper in the next state. So, yeah, watch that with the Q-tips. But I don't mind you doing it because you're not gross about it. You're not kicking your bare feet up here on the desk and trimming away. Oh, what was the one text we got yesterday that the dude did at work? With the schmeckle cheese?
Yeah, he, I can't
circumcision.
Really.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
he was uncircumcised, and with that
yeast.
And yeah, you require extra an extra cleaning step, and I guess this guy felt the need to do it at the work sink.
I think he got to lift the skin too.
Well, you got to pull it back, I believe.
Pull it back.
You got to do that.
And scrub.
Uh-huh. Sort of like unwrapping a Snickers bar.
Yeah.
And you got to give yourself a little once-over right around the bell end.
Which is fine. I mean, whatever. That's not a big deal, and it's not hard to do. And
don't
it's
do
just
it in the work sink.
Normal. Yeah, just don't.
Don't do it where
I
make
work
my
sink.
Where I make my coffee or where I use the disgusting microwave.
Well, I think he was in the bathroom, but still at the work sink in the sink at the bath in the work bathroom.
Oh God, so bad.
98 Rock, 98Online.com. Talking about flossing at work. Yeah, I read something the other day. I don't know, it was an email from somebody or something. I guess one of their coworkers was flossing at work. They thought it was gross. I clean my ears. I've been known to do a quick floss. Mm-hmm. Mike, you've seen me do a quick floss back in the office got a little nug. Yeah. Be honest.
The flossing doesn't bother me. Like I said yesterday, the only thing that kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies
is willies.
The clipping of the nails and that loud pop.
I love that sound. Yeah, and sometimes it'll shoot across the room. Oh.
Just ricochets off the wall.
Go on. I ain't looking for that one. That's staying where it is. And then, you get the, so you get the nail clipping, the flossing.
The Q-tipping of the ear hole.
This is?
Want to see it? Yep.
Box of Q-tips we keep back in the office.
I mean, would you throw nose picking in there? Yeah, part of it.
That's just kind of, an impromptu, like...
That's not grooming. That's just sort of an emergency situation.
Yeah, I guess more emergency, maybe.
And I tell you, the good tooth floss post-popcorn eating session might be on the same level of the I've been trapped in the car, can't wait to pee orgasmic sensation. When you pluck that thing out from between your teeth that's been pushing against the incisor...
Yeah, it feels good.
Oh, you get that awful little shard of popcorn skin. Oh, the shell, that little shell piece. You get it out of there. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, it's so nice.
Getting a lot of texts checking in.
Mm-hmm.
410-338-1098.
Yeah, I'm getting
cut
some.
Cut and file my nails at work, pluck my eyebrows, and clean my ears all right at my desk. Ask me if I care. I do hate to hear other people clipping their nails, though, so a little bit of a double standard there.
Brittany says, doesn't bother me. The mechanics at work scrape the grease from under their nails with knives all the time.
I have a lady at work that brushes her teeth at her desk. We have four bathrooms for her to pick from, but she chooses to do it right there in a cubicle and spits in a cup. Oh. Then she dumps the cup of mouth sludge in the kitchen sink.
I'm going to vomit. Oh, my God. That's so gross. That just had hot mouth slime. I had a boss that did that. I had a boss that had a toothbrush in his mouth around the clock. And he would hold on to it the way someone would a toothpick. He had a little travel-sized toothbrush that when he wasn't doing anything, it was almost like a nervous tick.
Yeah, I was going to say, the old nervous tick. Coworker walking around the office trimming his nose hair with an electric trimmer. And coworker used to floss her teeth with her own hair.
You are a savage. You are a cave-dwelling troglodyte. If you're using your own hair to floss, how strong is your hair?
And I guess it also depends on how close you are to these people and how well you know them. Because if you guys are doing this, I don't care. I've seen you fold up a piece of paper and pick food out of your teeth a million times, and I don't care. It's like, you're my friends and close, close acquaintances. But if it's someone, a woman you can't stand or barely know, and you hear her brushing her teeth and, into a cup in the cubicle next to you.
Oh, God, you got somebody back there rinsing at their desk with something.
Be done in a second.
Ugh, God.
A guy in our shop puts his shoes up. Oh, damn it, it just jumped on me. Hold on, let's go. Puts his shoes on the table where we eat. And sprays his feet with foot fungus spray every day.
Yuck, man.
On the table where they eat.
Because I feel like that's not just going to
get across the line.
Foot fungus spray on the table. But because of the, how do I put this, the compressed air in the can, it's going to knock fungus off.
Yeah, man.
In the initial blast and spread that fungus where someone's having their chicken Caesar wrap later. Oh, you fire that son of a bitch. He puts his foot on the table and starts blasting it with tough actin, tenactin. You can tenactin your ass to a job fair because you don't work here no longer. Oh, God. Let's go to the phones. 410-338-1098. Yeah, there's some really disgusting ones here. Here we go. All right, hope you haven't eaten. Let's start with Blake Fort Meade. Good morning, Blake.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
How are you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Doing all right. So I have this thing with my ears where, like, if I feel any type of wax in it, it just has to come out. And I'll use any utensil near me, knife, paper clips, anything I can use right then and there just to get it tense.
Well, why can't you go to a bathroom?
What's that?
Why can't you go to a bathroom?
It's just right then and there. I don't know. I feel some need to just pull it out right then and there.
Well,
I've been known to use a pen. But I've been having an issue in this ear right here. I feel like there's like some like dry skin in there or something. What I do is here. I'll show you. I take the pen. I click the point in, and then I just kind of
dig around a little bit.
I do a little like. Yeah, a little exploratory mission.
But that's your pen, though, right?
And then I look at the tip of it. I do hold on to this pen. I put this in my bag when I
leave. But then you can click the gross out of it because the edge the edge catches it, and you click, and it shoots that nug out.
I click, and I see if any nuggets pop out.
Ugh.
I am disgusting. I apologize.
That's so great, Blake.
Wow, I'm just realizing how gross I am.
Are those pencils and pens, are they yours, or do you put them back in like some communal
cup? Yeah, that's a good question.
They're mine.
Okay. Okay.
I don't mind, then. Do what you got to do. Don't hurt yourself.
You're disgusting.
Don't hurt yourself.
You should go to an island.
You know what the real litmus test is?
They
whether
drop
or not
a nuke on.
You would do these things in front of the opposite sex. Because 90% of them I wouldn't.
In front of anybody. It's just rude.
Well, now how about not opposite sex, but in front of the sex you're attracted to? I would say, if I just know, if we got a bunch of smoking hot sales girls back there, like, I don't care. I'm not involved with a one of them.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, if I'm talking to Haley or Carrie or Tina or whoever, I'm gonna pull a nug out. Oh.
And in terms of the rudeness, like I said, if I'm like close to you guys, like I don't, if I'm doing it in front of you guys, I don't. The rudeness kind of diminishes for me because we're so close. You know what I mean?
Oh no, Mike, I did push the envelope a little bit yesterday, didn't I? Though, you remember at the cubicle?
Oh yeah.
Was there any blowback from that?
Not that I'm aware of.
I was standing in the cubicle of a salesperson yesterday, and I guess I was just really feeling a little bit too comfy. And whoa, this person's very cool. And we're just talking about whatever. And standing next to Mike, yada, yada. You thinking about coming out to this one? Just real. I mean, just...
It got so weird so fast.
Yeah, they didn't
fart.
Yeah, super loud, super loud. They didn't smile. I did the whole.
It was like, and everybody kept looking at each other, like doing a round robin. Like, was that you?
Was that you? Was that you, Mike? Was that you, Mike? Stop it, Mike. Everyone knew it was me.
Oh my god!
The minute I did it, I'm like, if I could undo that, if I could unfart that fart, I would do it in a second. She didn't smile.
It was utter disgust.
It was her.
Explain your thought process.
It was her. Hold on. It was her. She was in the commercial.
Yeah.
I figured of all people, she'd be cool with it. And we're talking
what was
about
your thought process.
There wasn't one. I'm an agent of chaos. Yeah. So I'm thinking about if you want to get together early before the event, and nothing. I mean, I don't get a smile, a laugh. I get starched, and I look at Mike like, "Hey, Mike, why'd you do that?" Nothing. You left me swinging in the wind, Anderson. I don't think I'll soon forget that.
Yeah, it was very odd. It was a very weird moment.
It was bad. That's on me.
That's very weird
such
moment.
An ass. Such a gross ass. Yeah, I bombed. I bombed so hard. Let's go to Bob in Parkville. This is disgusting.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good,
hey,
how you, buddy?
Yeah, I used to work with a guy that chewed tobacco, and he had a 5-gallon bucket with him. He was a mechanic. And it normally had about 2-2.5 gallons of spit that they never emptied. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. It's an interesting workplace, like a mechanic in a shop.
Sorry, it's real.
Yeah, well, it was funny. I was waiting for somebody to kick the bucket over.
I don't think it was spit. Yeah. I don't think it was spit. There's a lot of things I can handle. I can handle, thank you, Bob. I can handle blood, sort of. Not great. Vomit, I'm not good with. But spit in that quantity.
Oof. And it's all black and brown and stinky and it's extra goopy.
Oh, I'm fighting it off right now. My eyes are watering. Sorry. Just
line
think
three.
Of, yes, line three. Here we go. Please help us move on. Yes, good morning, Rich and Severn.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
What's up, Rich?
Hey, so I don't know if it's more of a hygiene thing or not, but I work in a big cube farm, you know, type office setting, and we got this guy who just thinks it's the funniest thing. He'll walk up to your desk and just start a conversation with you and then just let one rip and think that is just the funniest thing
it ever. Is.
You know, there'll be, and then, you know, like four or five guys, because it's mostly guys in our office, but there are some women, but, you know, four or five of us talking in a group, and he'll just come up and be like, hey, what's up, fellas?
I'm a hero.
Oh, this guy is a hero amongst men. Yeah, tell him not to do that in our sales department. I'm telling you, I think she thinks differently of me now. And she's usually down for a joke. And she gave me the stare yesterday of, I'm done talking to you now. You can leave. Let's go to line one.
Wow, I can't believe you farted.
Dude,
cubicle.
It was the dumbest decision I've made this year. Let's go to Tommy, Harford County. Tommy, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, how we doing, boys?
How you doing, boys?
How you doing?
So, up coming to you from Hazard County up here.
Hey, turn up.
A while back, I walked into one of the coffee donut establishments, and there is one of the employees sitting out in a chair in the main area there, mm-hmm. with his shoes on the floor, mm-hmm. feet on the coffee table, oh. trimming his nails.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that place,
oh, yeah.
sucks.
And there's a line of customers.
Whoa.
And when I look at him, I look at him, and he looks at me, and I'm expecting him to say, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Oh, easy.
Instead, it doesn't even faze him. He just continues doing what he's doing.
Wow.
Well, some people, it's probably normal in their culture to do that.
I guess, but don't you have to kind of realize the culture you're in?
Yes, of course. I mean, it's disgusting.
It's not this culture.
Absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, when I want sprinkles, I don't want one of them to be clear and sort of crescent moon shaped.
Wow.
I mean, you see that. It's your favorite restaurant, your favorite coffee shop. Can you go back there? That's not like the first time that dude did that. That's the time you saw him do that. And I've seen you trim your nails, Scott. You're not kidding. One of those things will ricochet like a gunslinger's
bullet. We found a couple of nails over here the other day.
Probably was from
a couple
me.
Weeks ago. Yeah, it was
now,
pretty
I'm usually
gross.
Pretty good about I keep them down low and I collect them all and I throw them out.
I'm having trouble getting past that 2.5 gallon spit bucket right now. I'm really fighting it off.
And about the guy, like, trimming the nails, you know, with his feet up on the table at the place, part of me is going, like, I don't really give a rat's ass. Like, I'm not the kind of person that freaks out or won't eat there. You know, like, what are the chances? What's going to happen? What am I going to get sick? Very am I going to get sick or something? Or is it going to make me, is something going to get in my food? Most likely not. So I don't really care. It just amazes me that. It's more just the amazement of it. Like, why do you think it's okay?
How brash you are.
Yeah.
Just right there, he said, line of people, coffee's percolating, they just got done making the muffins, and this dude, Harold's got his feet up in the air, he's just trimming away at those eagle talons of his. Like, and it's weird because that grosses me out, but I could find, like, a tuft of hair on my burger, and I'm just going to pull it off and go.
Yeah, see, exactly.
Oh, this spit bucket.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
It's Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel. Hey, if you're enjoying this program on the air, we're glad you are, but you can also now enjoy this program Behind the Curtain in a more condensed, high-potency form at 98online.com. Download the Behind the Curtain podcast. Hope you enjoy it. Take us with you wherever you go on the app. We talked about pyramid schemes earlier in the week. I feel like that might be, in hindsight, maybe a bit too aggressive of a term for what Buck and others are involved in with some of these sell it from home, sell it online clothing lines. But the one thing that I didn't get into that day that I wish I would have had more time, which is why I'm glad we're doing this now. Do you know how that stuff she sells online works as far as how you sell it online? It's really hinky.
I am unfamiliar with
okay.
all of
this. Tell me if any of this stinks to you. There's no websites. Okay, there no. you go. Here we go. It reeks. You don't sell this, these leggings are hers, on a website. You have to use Facebook. You post pictures of the stuff, and then the first person to comment sold, you have to contact them through Facebook to put yourself in touch with that person, and then you guys come to an agreement on the price, and you ship the stuff out to where this company that she sells through is using Facebook as the medium.
Right.
Facebook's getting none of this. Facebook isn't getting a dime of this.
but they're using Facebook as their digital online store. And I, just to me, that's weird. And they're very specific. Like I offered her for her birthday one day. I was like, I'll build you a website. I'll build you a whole online store through like a GoDaddy or whatever, Squarespace. She's like, it's expressly forbidden. You can't. We can't even use squares to swipe.
Yeah, it seems like once they've sold you the merchandise, like that's the only part they care about. Because then you have all the merchandise and then there's a few restrictions they put on you, but it's up to you to unload that stuff and
yeah,
that's it. Because they've already made their money.
They made their money, but it's with this, but with this company and other ones, with these scents and these lotions and these oils and these supplements, it seems like you would think that once they sell it to you, okay, good luck, sell it however you can. Like Amway or those steak knife sets, but this stuff, it's like even after they've sold it to you, they tell you how to sell it. And it's how it has to be through Facebook. And it has to be through direct messaging. And you can't use squares and it's only checks, or they have this garbage website set up if you want to sell to someone through the website. So by the way, they tax you. This is awful. They tax you when you buy the stuff. And then if you sell it through their website, which they encourage you to do, once the deal has been made on Facebook, they then tax you again, or they give you what is it called? A broker's fee on there. So she's getting like hit twice on buying this stuff. It sucks. It's garbage. I feel like they're predatory. Hear about it now. Behind the curtain, we talked pyramid schemes.
And we've been doing that story all morning about the girls not being able to get on that. It was United, correct? United,
yes.
Flight, because they had leggings on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, those are the demons that made that rule.
Those sons of bitches.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good luck selling the fleet off later this week.
And then, so we got to talking about leggings.
Yeah.
Which spiraled out into a conversation about LuLaRoe, which spiraled out into a conversation about these weird hinky
pyramid scheme
type companies that we've all come in contact with, especially the ladies out there now with this LuLaRoe thing. You know, somebody's got a shop popping up and they're trying to get you to get on board. Anytime they're trying to sell you something, but then they're trying to get you on board or try to get you sign up for like, no, listen, you just sign up and, you know, this changed my life.
Oh, it's incredible. I remember just waking up and making lunches and then vacuuming or being a stay-at-home mom or dad. And then the next thing I knew, I started selling Scentsy. And now we're going yacht shopping. And you could, too. And that's when they drop that piece of paperwork in front of you. And the next thing you know, you're sucked into the machine.
Yeah, I guess we would want to be semi-careful here, Mike, in terms of not, you know, really giving specific. We don't want to, you know, look like we're bashing any kind of specific company. You right over there?
What is happening with that sandwich? What is happening with that sandwich?
I'm just eating.
You're not just eating. You've distracted the whole room.
I know. I can't eat in here. I distract. I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm putting it down.
Like
I'm
your
waiting.
Hand is like quivering and you're.
I'm waiting till the commercials.
Just eat the damn sandwich. Relax and just eat. Enjoy it.
I don't want to distract.
It's too late. We're trying to set up a break here, and there's just a lot of commotion on that side of the room.
Oh, God, a chunk just flew out of his mouth.
Oh, my God.
Yuck.
Dude.
We're going to get to the pyramid scheme talk, but you're going to go on safari, and the animals are going to watch you.
Yeah, you're going to call 410-338-1098, 410-338-1098, because somebody left here and left radio, and now he's, I guess, what you call, quote-unquote, self-employed.
Yeah.
Doing one of these things, right, Mike?
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
You've even noticed that you're like, it's weird. Like, some of these things become, dare I say, semi-cultish in the way these people act and in the way they try and recruit and the way they try and...
Oh, you should see...
They preach to you. They try to recruit. They try to get you on board. It's like, what?
They have these people in many companies. I'm not going to say who, but the person that I know that's kind of involved in this thing has a sponsor coach. They'll turn to online. They've never even met this person. And they'll turn to them, and they don't give specifics on how to do anything. They sing this like cultish tale of, hey, I'm having trouble getting my order in time. How do I get my order? How do I expedite it if I'm trying to have a sale this weekend? Well, one of the things you need to know is it's just about selling people the dream of being an individual and not about the product. It's about the image, because we're all strong people. And what we are independent. How the do I sell this stuff? How yeah, the do sketch. I get this stuff? How the do I return this stuff when it's flawed? And they never get specific responses.
Nope.
It's always, like you said, this weird cultish pre-written spiel.
Yep.
You're not a salesman. You're a peddler of dreams.
When they start to flaunt their hey, did you see my new look at that. I got a new BMW.
You got a BMW.
Got a new car.
How'd you get that BMW?
It's all because of this plan that I'm part of. It's great.
Your plan. I'm out. Don't try and get me wrapped up into that plan. I ain't interested.
And I've lost 40 pounds, and
dude,
I'm driving a BMW, and you could too.
It's predatory, dude. I feel like some of this stuff is really sinister, and once they got you roped in and you're locked in, and the initial investment, oh, you'll pay it off in like 3 months. Hey, spoiler alert, we've been invested for 9, and we're barely about to put our nose above the water in our financial investment. All right, so, yeah, be careful when you get wrapped into this crap. Let's talk to someone here. Let's go to Mark Perry Hall. We'll take your calls after sports, too. Mark, good morning.
What's up, Mark?
Good morning, guys.
Hello,
what's up, again?
Mark?
Hey, Mark. Hey, guy.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you guys have been hitting pretty close to home lately.
See?
Yeah, so, What? Oh, yeah, anyway. So, I got called out to a friend's house a couple years ago. He was like, hey, I haven't seen you guys since high school. You know, let's all catch up. It's like, cool, no problem. A few of us show up and we used to play football together.
See?
No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting there, we're talking, we're hanging out, and then out of the blue, he pulls out these manila folders, rolls in a TV, and he's just like, oh, yeah, by the way, would you like to try this? I'm like, you did not. You did not just make me come here after work to listen to some pyramid scheme.
Wow.
Like telemarketing or
what
something.
What a son of a bitch.
And you thought you were, like, catching up with a dude.
Hey,
he pulls out manila envelopes, rolls in a TV, and, oh, hear me out, man.
No.
Exactly what we're talking about.
Yes, thank you for the call. That is, it sucks, too, because, like Mark just said, hey, it's cool. Let's catch up with our boy. Let's see what's going on. We're going to play a little pickup football in the front yard. Maybe grab a case. Maybe watch some wrestling tonight. Nope. He's got a 17-page PowerPoint presentation. So all you got to do after initial investment, real simple. You see, I'll get 7% of your sales, but if you sign up anybody, you get to get 7% of their sales, and so on and so forth. And eventually you just start having mailbox money. Just they back the Brinks truck up to you. You're not going to know what to do with all this income. And it never happens. Ever.
Talking about those weird pyramid scheme companies, we had a guy call in just before sports who I think summed it up perfectly. He said an old buddy of his contacted him and was like, hey, let's get back together, man. Let's have some beers.
Sounds good.
And as he like cracks a beer and sits down, his buddy breaks out some sort of laminated folders and wheels out a TV. And he's like, so
there's a reason I brought you all here today.
I had a family member just text me that said, friend I haven't seen since high school called me on Friday and asked me if I was interested in joining a fitness sales team online. Yes.
Yeah, how about this? I'm thinking about
somebody that we know that left here, got involved in some sort of, what is it? Is it a dietary type thing, Mike? Is it like a...
It's like a supplement.
Like a supplement kind of lifestyle
sure
line
this is the
thing.
Case,
dude, it's like horse dander and St. John's wort wrapped up in these little gel and tabs that don't do nothing but give you real hot acid farts.
So yeah,
fitness.
This day and age... With the internet, people would be
more savvy.
Would know. People would know.
No. Like you mean people would know what they're getting into?
Right.
Yeah, you would think.
God, people are.
I mean,
I'm
forever the cynic and forever the skeptic to begin with.
And I believe everything. And I'm not into this stuff.
Yeah, you're the one in the room that would be all about this, and you don't even believe.
I'm not even into this. You know, easily I'm tricked. I mean, yeah, it's easy. Real easy. You advertise anything to me. If you're showing me a Taco Bell advertisement at 12 at 1 o'clock, I'm eating it. Look at this here. People at JSS98 Rock almost got scammed into selling knives one time. Was invited numerous times to partake in an energy drink pyramid scheme. Got shut down by the FTC.
Here's an interesting text. It doesn't really, you know, provide much info, but it says the first successful domestic pyramid scheme was...
Mary Kay?
Tupperware.
Oh!
I remember my mom getting Tupperware, and it was like a big thing, and you know, you had all the pieces and the lids, and it was a big thing. You would buy into it.
Tupperware
yeah.
parties. Come on over.
Yes.
We're having wine and snacks
yes.
this evening. And there's something
Tupperware
I'd like
party.
To sell you.
Somebody says, I used to sell skincare in a pyramid scheme, and I made about 1,000 within 9 months, but I ended up stopping because I was annoying myself with how much I was talking about it, asking people I knew to buy stuff and hosting parties, or became a salesperson. It was exhausting.
That's another thing you got to worry about, too, is that let's just say you do this full tilt boogie. You're putting 50 hours into this thing. Eventually, when people see Scott starts selling, let's say, Fartsy. It's a supplement that you swallow, and every time you fart, it smells like lemon lime. Fartsy, from the makers of Burps a Lot. But every time I see you, I'm thinking, oh, God damn it, Scott's going to try and pawn me on this stuff again. I'm going to avoid hanging out with you.
Yep.
I'm not going to respond to your emails. I'm not going to respond to your Facebook requests, because, like, let me guess, you want me to come over, and you're going to try and pitch me on this swill. And someone else pointed out, thank you, Emma, Buck has gotten a bunch of these with the one that she's currently entangled in, the conferences. Conferences, cruises, and gatherings. They try and sell you on, we're unveiling this new line of something, this new sales tool that you have to have, or you're going to get left in the dust. Why don't you attend this conference? It's only a few $1,000. It's only somewhere in Costa Mesa. It's somewhere in Arizona. It's somewhere effing far away from where you live. And you're already not making money to begin with this horrible investment. Let's come and hang out with another 3,000 of these hens in a desert somewhere at some Radisson conference room.
Here it says, my buddy worked a pyramid scheme selling energy drinks. The top sales position. Here we go. This is what you always see on Facebook. It says, top sales position was awarded a BMW.
Oh!
And about 7 months after he got his BMW, a repo truck pulled in when the company collapsed.
Oh!
And before this happened, he got about 60 of his buddies to join the company. They each had to put up $150 to join, and they all lost it all. And a few had to move back in with their parents.
Oh.
It says $150. I don't know, $150, $150. I don't know how much.
But damn.
150. Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Amway. Who the Bud, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, let's try not to, let's get too specific here and bad,
Sounds good.
Now, hold on real quick, Dave, before you answer the question. We hear your story. I have a question. Jamie says, don't confuse this direct selling with pyramid scheme. Now, what's the difference between the two?
I don't know. Everybody knows what we're talking about. Whatever you want to call it. It's a direct selling, the pyramid scheme, whatever they are.
Because the pyramid thing is when you sell to someone else, you get them involved in it, and then you get a percentage of their stuff, and then you get a percentage of a percentage of a percentage.
Right.
And the next thing you know, you technically have 50 people working for you. I think just selling direct might be just like, hey, buy this, thank you, goodbye.
Or Jamie's been brainwashed.
Well, Jamie, we figure out you got a chip in your brain. Luckily, you're smoking hot. Dave, good morning.
Buddy,
how about we...
My bad.
Let's take it from the top, dum-dum.
Yeah, we were in college together. My buddy was like, hey, how's it going? You seem like you know what you're doing with this business stuff. You want to join my business team? And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I respected this guy. Thought he knew what he was doing. So he's like, all right, I'm going to get a hold of my guy. We're going to meet up somewhere. We met up, and I'm talking to the guy. The guy's giving me his pitch. And I'm like, well, I hope by the end of the day I can at least get, like, your business's like mission statement or any of that. And if he's like all shady, he's like, yeah, I could give you the meat and potatoes of it, but I want you to keep coming back, come the next day. And then he was just going through the whole pitch, and I asked the guy, I was like, hey, this seems like a multi-level marketing scheme, which is kind of like the polite way to say like pyramid scheme.
Yep.
And then he goes, yeah, it is. And then I was like, right away, I was like, done with it.
Bear, yeah, you're done. Out. I'm out.
First day when you're like, hey, give me, tomorrow we'll meet again and I'll give you some more info. And once the shadiness element is there, you're I'm out.
If they speak in generalities, or if they ask you to cut a check immediately,
right?
Turn tail and run. Grab your car keys, say, I got to go to the bathroom, get in your car, speed off, spend that money going back to school or something. Thank you for the call. Let's go here. Oh, Mike was involved in one. Mike, you ain't got to say the name of the company, but what was the type of thing you were selling?
It was basically, all kinds of household products. They want you to switch your whole entire lifestyle over for items. Like, they were saying they have stuff that's better than Tide, things like that. Everything was better than what the normal brands were, which is hard to do.
Right, of course. Like, Tide exists for a reason because...
It's a juggernaut because it works.
Pretty well figured out.
No. Our stuff sparkles worth way better.
Yeah. And if you get someone else... All of a sudden, the people in Tide are going... Damn it!
Oh,
how
God.
Did the sparkle worth figure out the formula?
Guys, they took our legs out from under us.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right. I mean, it's like trying to come in like a brand new car that's not a name brand car. It's not going to happen.
Right. So you got involved in this, tried to sell it, and you said that it was rather cultish?
Yeah. Yeah, everything. We went to, they pitched like this big convention we went to in D.C. I mean, it was nice, very nice, nice hotel. You got discounts on everything, but everything was like, you got to come to a mandatory church meeting in the morning, and they were doing like, what? You know, song and dance that they had and stuff.
What? Mandatory church?
There was like
chanting?
Now,
did you see, you obviously were smart enough to like, you know, be on the outside looking in going, what is this all about? But did you see people right. getting caught up in it?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Dude, see, this is what I'm talking about. Thank you for the call. The person that got Buck into this, man, they drank the Kool-Aid hard. You can't have a normal conversation.
You got involved with a clothing line that got real hot and is kind of fading quickly.
Yeah,
and
like the patterns on their leggings after one wash.
I'm a member of a social club here in town, and there was one night where there were some racks of clothing set up there because they were having a pop-up store. And it seemed like the same thing. They had a lot of inventory, and not a lot of it was moving.
Not a lot of it at all. Like, they're making sales. They're doing discounts, for ones. And you talk to the person that got you into this, like, hey, how do I sell this excess crap? I bought 500 pieces, and I've only moved 20. You got to let them know that you don't sell clothing. You sell dreams and self-worth. You see, it's one person's belief and another woman's worth that makes sure that you have a dream come to reality. You bitch, how do I sell this crap? I got a basement full of it. Yeah, it's terrible. Let's continue on. Let's go to Derek in Arnold. Derek, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Justin.
Thank you for holding, Siegel. Buddy.
No problem. I think my wife got me set up with the same scam you all were. It's they send you a whole bunch of unique leggings that you can find at Target and Old Navy and all that stuff.
That's a good way to put it. Unique leggings.
Unique. No, hey, I'm gonna throw. Let me throw some verbs at you and tell me if you've heard these.
Okay.
Does she get any unicorns?
Yeah, yes. Plenty of them,
dude.
Okay. Oh, everyone just loves them.
But we're not talking about actual unicorns, like horse with a thing coming out of its forehead. We're talking when you open up a box of these 500 containers of swill, you get, say, out of the 500, 450. It looks like Jackson Pollock had diarrhea on too. And the other 50 might have some interesting logos that'll move. But the other garbage, the swill,
that's how they do it.
It's just nothing. None of that stuff sells. So how much of this crap do you have around your house?
I have a large closet filled, and then probably crap ton more in my actual house.
Oh,
so it's probably about 500-600 pieces that we're still trying to sell. And we've been in it for 9 months.
And you have to order every month, don't you? Or you get booted out of the program.
Yeah, now it's not. You just have to order it. You have to sell $300 worth of product now a month.
Oh, damn.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Justin Scott and Spiegel Behind the Curtain. If you're listening on the air, thank you. If you're listening on the podcast, we're glad you gave it a shot. We're putting this up in the podcast form at 98online.com, condensed. And on Thursday, we talked about foot fetishes because we found out that one of our YouTube videos is gained some traction in the foot fetish community of Mike Anderson rubbing people's feet. And you'll hear coming up, we talked to a couple of people. Mike, you screen the calls for us. Who else were we not able to talk to? Were there other people on there that are into foot fetishes that were disgusted by it? Because the two people we talked to, one guy was into it and one was a lady whose husband liked
it. Yeah, and there was a couple other guys that were into it. And then there was one guy on there that said there was an individual in his neighborhood, a dude that would offer pedicures for free.
Yeah, that's like homebrew gynecology. That's like small batch proctologists. Sure, that definitely sounds like that guy's got a foot fetish.
Well, yeah, obviously. But it's just weird because, like, he's obviously going for like some sort of sexual gratification, right? So normally you would like go out to a bar and have some drinks or maybe try and meet a girl, take her home and have like a one night stand with her or end up dating a girl. But like if you're a foot fetish guy, like you can, it's a kind of like a gray area because like you said, it's not sex. So you're not like, you don't need to go to that full length and you can almost kind of, it's like a weird little loophole that you can offer up just like a foot rub.
Yeah, that could be.
Which is not really, but yet you're getting like immense sex. It's almost like probably like sex for you.
For you, yeah. She doesn't know that Netflix and a foot rub for her, which was a soothing evening, to you is like a sexually gratifying act. I have to wonder if any of these dudes in the middle of your standard foot rub achieve.
Achieve just, what?
Achieve the end of an act.
What act? Oh, okay.
Bleep all that, Mike.
Got it.
Bleep all that. Yeah. Well, you'll hear about it now. Coming up, we talked about foot fetishes because one of our videos, a few of them, as a matter of fact, of Mike Anderson rubbing feet have gone viral in the foot fetish community. Is weird.
Mike, on the YouTube, baby, we are going viral.
Blowing up. Didn't even realize that it happened.
Not really viral. I mean,
it's on. Really, it's more really. Than other videos have done.
We'll say that. It's more than other videos. But, you know, you got stupid. Just go on YouTube and look at some of the stupid videos that have 14 million hits, and you're like, what? What? Yeah. I mean, we're talking 15,000, right? Is that where we're at, Mike? 15,000?
Yeah, I was but just still, going through our videos, and you can click on, you know, newest date, most popular. I clicked on most popular.
And now this is YouTube, what, 98
yeah,
Rock?
On our 98 Rock YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I was looking at all our uploads, and I put, you know, most popular. So I reshuffled them. And towards the top, I'm seeing my massage videos. And I'm like, why? I mean, they were okay videos, but I didn't think they would get 15,000 views. And I start going through the comments, and I realize these are foot fetish people that are watching these videos and thoroughly enjoying them.
Oh, yeah. And you know what else one is up there I just noticed? Because I guess you're right. These fetish people will, they'll probably go on here and do a search.
Mm-hmm.
It says flogging Scotty, the one where they put a ball gag in my mouth and they whipped me and they shocked my balls with that electric wand.
Yeah, they did zap you in the nuts. Saw that. Oh, there's another great one. I wish we would have recapped on Tuesday, the time you and I almost died trying to save Josh from a flat tire.
Yes, I almost flipped my truck.
Yes, he rolled up on an embankment and almost rolled the Toyota 4Runner trying to save Josh, who was broken down on the side of the road.
I remember
and the
that, yeah.
Video of the vac bed we put you in years back, that yeah. got, like, I think 200,000 plus.
215,000 views.
Good. The worst my penis has ever looked. It yeah. couldn't look worse.
Yeah, so 98 Rock YouTube channel, towards the top, there's a lot of, you know, bands. Because if somebody's searching for a band and they see their band, like, you know, performing something live and acoustic, that'll get a lot of clicks. A lot of porn stars. On the 98 Rock YouTube channel. And then Mike is right. You know, there's a lot of, I mean, his one, Mike's massaging feet has almost 13,000 views.
Here's the one with 15,000 views that I guess is now being passed around the foot fetish underground.
Mike massages Samantha's feet.
The comments are as follows. Triple F writes, perfect. ASMR Caveman says, and I'll paraphrase here, so there I was, looking for foot videos to enjoy myself to, and now I listen to you online.
Wow, so this guy was just looking to have some me time and gain a new listener from that.
And that's what really got the gears turning in my head, and I said to myself, hey, maybe we can attract new listeners through fetish videos.
Yeah, we actually start posting weird fetish stuff. Little people, candle, wax play.
Yeah, fringe stuff. I mean, we don't have to do the major ones. Obviously, the foot fetish is a big one, but yeah, it could be as simple as latex stuff.
Mm-hmm. What's another one? Clamps? Sex
farting.
Swing? Sex
farting's
swings.
A big one.
Yeah, well, we got that underground locked up.
Smushing people, which we've had some experience with. Spiegel smushed me back in the day.
Wow, some of these comments are creepy. DJ Creeper Plays Games writes, with a Naruto profile picture. Yeah, if you have anime as your profile picture, you've done weird things in Thailand. He writes, I touched her feet. Brittany's and Donna's, they feel good, and they liked it. And they let me lick their feet. I sucked on their feet and toes, and they let me do anything I wanted to.
Well, what about the other
That's
person?
Not true. You just made that up.
Yeah, he's like doing role play.
He's role playing in picture. The comments. And then someone else comments, wow, you have any pictures there, DJ Creeper Plays Games?
Oh my God.
Dude.
And then there's another person that's commenting on all of the foot massage videos from Mike at the 98 Rock YouTube page that are getting thousands of views, I guess, just like Mike said, from probably from foot fetish people. It's you see the profile picture is a picture of feet.
Feet.
And it just says FFF. I don't know what that foot fetish something, I guess, right? Mm,
foot fetish freak.
And it says this guy has the best job in the world.
Foot fetish wad.
I'm going to click on FFF.
Ooh. Oh, look at this guy's profile.
Oh.
Look, it's just all feet videos.
Oh, this dude sucks. Oh, wow.
Let me read some of the titles. Wife's asleep. Feet up. Floor view. Wife's foot on your face. Fabulous resting wrinkled toes.
Yeah, this guy found our videos and enjoyed himself. Oh,
cruise missile strike.
Hey, look, man, why? Why you gotta blow the guy up? Let the guy have his thing, man.
Massaging.
You're too judgmental.
His feet.
Grace.
It's just, ugh, God. And I've done some horrible things. Unspeakable.
A guy can't like feet. You gotta blow him up.
Really. Stinger missiles. Just someone float an Apache out front of his window.
And it's his wife. He's admiring his wife's feet.
Mach 3, fire 4.
It really gives you some insight into how serious this fetish is. Like, because initially I always thought, like, they just admired women's feet. You know, they kind of found them sexy, but this might as well be genitalia to them.
Rex Ryan, Bigfoot fetish.
Look at all the different videos of feet. Oh, this dude's on a government server somewhere. Cute barefoot play, exciting foot rubbins, and now he's found our videos. I'd love to speak with
one, the one on Samantha. Says Mike massages Samantha's feet. There's FFF. What do we know what FFF stands for? He writes perfect.
Uh-oh.
Perfect.
DJ Creeper Plays Games is back in another video. Mike is not rubbing the three ladies' feet right.
Oh, damn, Mike.
I could do better.
Oh, and the FFF has an Instagram account.
Ooh, let me guess.
FFF
feet on it.
FFF _ wife's feet at Instagram.
Ooh, how many Fs do I give about that, dude?
All right, here it is. I'm on it. Let me see this guy.
Oh.
There's his wife's feet. I'm not a fan of his wife's feet.
The sexual tension is running high this morning, writes Brando J.
Yeah, Mike, you might be onto something here.
Yeah,
start our own little fetish site.
Yeah,
or
maybe
something.
We start Fetish Fridays, and we pick a different fetish every week, and we film it in here and put it up on YouTube, and God willing, we'll blow up our YouTube channel and start making money.
Mike, Fetish Friday.
Can we get Excedrin for Mike? Because he just gave himself a migraine from such a good idea. Fetish Fridays kicks off next week. We got Fan Art Friday, Fetish Fridays. I would love that. We open up the fetish lines.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What?
I'm on the... Look at this picture of these feet. What is that on there?
Oh! I hope he sneezed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I hope he sneezed.
Spiegel, don't look.
Don't look.
I'm not.
Oh, did he sneeze?
I did.
See? Now you want to know why I want to unleash a missile strike.
Hey, let the guy do his thing. Oh, no. Oh, wait.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, wait.
Oh, no.
Oh! Oh!
I hope that's allergies.
Let's just put it this way. He really likes his wife's feet.
Oh, you love the feet, don't you? Oh, it's so nice. Just give me a little smush there.
Boom!
Love them toes. Mike rubs feet for money for Special Olympics Maryland. We thought it was funny. We thought it was done. Then he goes to the YouTube page yesterday to upload something, starts looking around, sees it in the most popular views filter on our YouTube page, search 98 Rock Baltimore. On YouTube, that the foot rubbing videos, just the view count's just ticking, like you're filling up at the pump.
They're up towards the top of the most popular videos, and they've only been up for a month and a half.
And then we find out that it's because, I guess, they're getting passed around via foot fetishists.
Oh. Yeah, foot fetish community.
Can I read some tweets that we got from a dear Twitter follower? Some kind of something. You contribute great content. You got to change that name. I don't know what that is. It just, you're great, and I want to give you a shout out, but I can't pronounce half of your profile. Says that my family was selling old shoes online, accidentally ended up in the foot fetish community selling trashed shoes. They're actually very polite and just wanted extra pictures of feet. They wanted my brother to step on a piece of bread and put it in a Ziploc and mail it to them.
What
is that?
That's weird.
Oh, that you wanted you to step on bread. And sweet Brittany, she's one of the women that you rubbed of the Polino family. She has seen the comments on the videos. And one of the comments from DJ Creeper Plays Games started doing a little fan fiction in his head. Shocker, he has an anime character as his profile picture. Bet there's a lot of hentai in that browser history, animal. He writes, I touched her feet, Brittany's, and they feel good, and they liked it. And they let me lick their feet, suck on their toes, and let me do anything I wanted to. She's seen it and is thoroughly creeped out. She responds to that. Get the out of here. People are requesting additional videos of Brittany's feet. And then you found some videos of someone that also commented on it. Scott.
Oh, you're talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was... Well, there's a guy that's FFF. It's a foot fetish, and it's a... I guess he's got an Instagram page, and it's just photos of his wife's feet. And then sometimes the feet end up being covered in with something.
Oh, God.
He really likes his wife's feet.
A lot.
There's a world, man. Look, hey, to each his own. Who am I to judge?
Yeah, I guess it's his wife's
feet. Who am I to judge? It's his wife. People like feet. There's a lot worse things you could be doing in this world than admiring some feet. Good on you. Good on you.
410-338.
It's weird how we kind of stumbled into this fetish world.
And is it only men? Are there any women that are into men's feet?
I would imagine, Mike. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of people on Earth.
Yeah.
You would think
it seems like it's a male-predominated predominant.
I would say probably goes more one way, but yeah, there's probably a woman out there that just can't get enough of dude feet.
What do you think the most common fetish act is?
In regards to feet or just...
In regards to feet.
Mike, here, I'll try and act this out for you. All right, here, Mike.
Mike knows how to do it.
Give me your feet. Here, I'll do this. Here, I'll put my feet up. You take your feet. There you go. Now, Mike, hit that. There you go. Look at that, right there. Look at that.
Oh, God!
Yep, that's it. Right there. Keep going. Get it!
Jeez. Has anyone in the room ever done that?
No. Uh-oh, I keep my socks on.
Mike?
Nah, I have no desire to do that.
Well, maybe.
Josh, man.
Oh.
Maybe,
come around and do that. Wait 1 second.
I'm sorry,
kidding.
Scotty.
I'm kidding.
Oh, damn it. Damn. God, I wanted to find out something about you today.
You weren't even listening.
Wait a second. It clicked. My brain processes information half the speed of a normal human. Oh, God. So we turn to you, the foot fetishist. I just feel like... Here's why I guess I'm grossed out about feet. Is that it seems to be the foot and the shoe and the sock is sort of the drip tray of the human body. Everything goes down. Everything heads south. So your feet, they tend to catch most of the funk. Yeah, I'm not into funk. I'm in the Grand Funk Railroad. I used to read Funk and Wagnalls Encyclopedia.
Yeah, but what about if they're fresh out of the shower, man?
Still.
You do the pre-shower, pre-shower... session.
Yeah, but I mean, I have a cat box. If I clean that thing out, I'm not going to put chips and salsa in it.
Do you think more foot fetishists are into clean feet or dirty feet?
Dirty.
See, now that's where
that's
what you're talking about.
Promise you. That hot Swiss, that hot toe Colby.
Yeah, that's a very good point. A lot of them probably want them steamed. Like, I want you to put these boots on and put these wool socks on.
Okay.
And then put these leather boots on and I watch you walk around all day.
I mean, if you'd like me to.
All day. Do not let your feet out.
Should I walk anywhere in particular?
And when you come home, I want you to take those boots off and take those socks off and shove your feet right in my face.
All right, here we go. All right, take a deep sniff. There you
are. Dudes out there that love that.
Yeah, they love funk. Do yourself a favor, and I'm not going to get into any detail. Look up a guy by the name of Klondike Bill at some point, a famous WCW producer, road agent, known for some disgusting fetishes. I'll tell you off air. Klondike Bill. Let's go to the phones here, talk to some people that might be able to answer your question, Josh. Dave in Pasadena. Dave, you got yourself got a foot fetish, buddy.
Yes. I've had it since I was a small child. I used to go to the Wild Lake Park. And, my mom and her friends would all go there to, smoke pot or whatever.
You talking about Wild Lake in Columbia?
Yes.
Okay, just.
But I would, you know, I would crawl around under the table and I would try to guess, you know, whose feet were whose.
Now, is this something and, you're, and now as a grown adult, are you, I don't want to say ashamed of it, but do you embrace it and are you proud of it or do you hide it a little bit?
Well, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it.
There you go. Hey, own it. Own it. Own it.
Yes.
So can you answer Josh's question? We were saying, you know, I'm averse to feet because I just think they're funky no matter what. But then the question was asked, do you prefer a clean or a funky foot?
I sniff my wife's socks. So, yeah, I like them a little funky. You know,
okay,
she goes
so
to the gym and stuff.
You like, he likes some funky. Now, but
I
then,
like a little funk. I like a little funk.
Nice look, hot Swiss.
Look, I'm not here to judge, okay?
But
let me ask you this.
Know,
time out! Let me ask you this. You said you're married.
Yeah.
So you obviously had this fetish your entire life. When you started dating your wife, who was a girlfriend at one point, then became a fiance, how do you float that out there? That, hey,
it started with the foot rubs and, you know, then, it, you know, the toe sucking and stuff like that.
Well, because there comes a point in that relationship where you have to be like, hey, just a heads up. I know I've been giving you some foot rubs and I may have sucked your toes once in a while, but I'm like really into this.
Yeah, like way
I'm
more than
really,
you know.
Way more than you know. I'm really into this. And
need
you, had to, you had to express that to her. And that's kind of a roll of the dice because at that point she might be like,
I'm out.
Yeah.
You're gross.
Well, she was already, you know, kind of into it a little bit. Like I've been with girls that, you know, like. When you know you pull the socks off, like all bets are off. If their feet are busted, forget about it. I couldn't even do it.
So you don't like all feet. You like a pretty feet that has a little bit of funk to it.
Yeah, like a little bit of gym sweat.
Regarding
sweat.
This can't be right.
Oh God, I believe him. He's answering immediately.
Regarding your wife's feet, how many inches of them can you get in your mouth at once?
Yeah.
Oh.
About four, probably.
Wow. Okay.
Like how many toes? How many toes you fit? You fit in the whole?
Oh, I can get the whole. My wife wears a size 6, so I can get, you know, probably about, you know, 6 inches of toe.
So you're on all five toes.
All the way down my throat.
Dave, can I ask? And I don't think,
all
I
right,
think we're
I'm
dancing.
I'm exaggerating. Probably about four inches of toe.
We're dancing up
four
to the line here, but Mike had the idea about doing like a Fetish Friday. What if we did a live one? Because it's not really a sex act, but it is, where we had maybe Dave bring the missus in. And a little demonstration.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Dave, would you be willing to come up if we got the okay for you to maybe sit in the back on a nice tarp or something like that, but we had a gun trained on you, and you can just, you and the missus fully clothed, except for your
definitely.
Feet. Mike, I am putting Done. Him Booked. On hold. Mike, bring him up for a live
now,
Fetish Friday.
Are you two people that we would want to see engaging in something like this?
He's still here. Hold on one second. Mike, put him back on hold. Put him back on hold.
Don't worry about it.
Nope. Okay, never mind. Never mind. Get his info. Get his info, Michael.
I just want, because you know you, God, who knows what these people look
How many
like.
Times has he walked into a Payless and asked to smell the returns?
Oh, yeah.
Savage.
All right, let's go to, ooh, there's some creepy ones here. Jimmy and Linthicum. Jimmy, good morning.
I'm not creepy, but people who have foot fetishes are creepy. I mean, somebody messaged my daughter a couple of years ago on Facebook. At the time, she was only 14, offered her money if she would oil up her feet with baby oil and send him photographs. And this guy's in his 40s.
I didn't say baby oil, I said lotion.
Yeah,
that
is, this guy wanted baby oil.
Well, that's not a fetish. That's pedophilia. We're getting confused here.
Yeah, you're just dealing with a horrible person there. That should be definitely have their profile turned over to authorities. But in regards to doing something like that for favors, thank you, Jimmy. Ariel, inner city teacher, soon to be new mother, said that she knew a girl that a guy offered her money for rubbing her foot videos. He paid her car note for months just to get videos. Mike, what line am I going to?
Three.
Three. Three is empty. Four of them. All right, here we go. Let's go to line four. Four, good morning. Kristen.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Talk to me about them toes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've been dating my boyfriend for a year now, and he is really into my feet. And at first I was like a little turned off by it. It was like a little creepy. I didn't know what he wanted to do with my feet.
Right.
But since we've, you know, been together a year and we live together, I have a massive shoe collection. I get pedicures paid by him every week. So it really pays off to my advantage, and I get foot rubs almost nightly, and it's not nearly as creepy as people think. It's really not. Well, and it's actually given me an appreciation for feet.
There you go. Yeah, if you love the other person, then what's the issue?
Anybody in there out there into elbows? Like, is that a thing? Or
probably,
wrists
yeah.
or kneecaps? Can I ask you, Kristen, also, and this is just a yes or no thing, because Scott saw some photos of a man enjoying his wife's feet sexually. From A to Z, top to bottom. Has he ever okay. taken it all there?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Wow. Okay. Kristen, follow up question.
It's not that bad. It's really not.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like, oh, I was making pancakes. Let me ask you, too. Would you also be willing to come up and have your boyfriend do something with your feet in here?
I'd have to discuss it, but I don't think you'd necessarily have an issue with that.
That's a yes. I'm putting her on hold. Mike, two words for you. Foot orgy.
We get a bunch of people in here, and we just start sucking on toes, homie.
What do you imagine? You know how we talk about sometimes people will wind up in the emergency room because they've been, you know, doing stuff to themselves, and, mm-hmm. and they've got stuff stuck.
Yes. You put a what? Where?
Yeah, there's a foot. There's a foot
there's
stuck
a
in
foot.
You. Can you imagine?
Did you actually enter an ass-kicking contest? Because you got a goodness. Foot up there.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Vincent Pastore. You can see him at the Baltimore Comedy Factory next time he's in town. Unfortunately, he only did one night last night. You know him as Big Pussy from The Sopranos.
Well, hello there.
And, yeah, he was a force of nature. He doesn't know how close to the fire he danced. By going toe to toe with Speaks,
yeah, he insulted me.
Yeah,
a couple
you fat.
Times. He called me fat. He insulted my beard, which I just got trimmed last night.
Yeah, I wanted
is
to
it
say
bad?
It actually looks great. Well, yeah. You can see the line on it is sharp.
It does it look bad?
No, it looks fine.
Okay, because he said it. I didn't look good.
He was just busting balls,
was he
man.
Busting
God,
balls?
You guys that aren't from up in the New York area don't understand the fine art mm-hmm. of ball busting. You mm-hmm. just don't.
Think he was being
just
a bit
don't.
Of a bastard.
That's his way of saying he loves you and you look great. Whatever he says, just take the opposite.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
I think he said something, a third thing, too. I don't remember, though. I'll think of it, though.
Says he hates the Jews.
Yeah,
he didn't say that.
That
is not a thing that he said at all.
Right.
Boy, him and Keith certainly had a little bit of a weird old man bromance there for a second, too.
I will say, I've never seen the newsroom, like, perk up. Like, everybody was getting pictures with him out in the hallway.
Yeah, there are 7,000 pictures that people from the newsroom have posted with him online.
Yeah, Jim Russ, boy, I thought he was trying to run the 40. When he wanted to come out and get a photo with a big pussy.
You want me a big, like, you know, since we're behind the curtain. I didn't know what to expect. I thought it was not going to be a very a good appearance. I don't know why. I just was very...
I had high hopes.
I don't know. I feel like I've heard some things about him that, like, were not...
Flattering?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I did. I just, like, for whatever reason going into it, I was like, what is this going to be like? And it was great. It was great. I thought it was a great hour.
I'm surprised Rick didn't come floating in on a cloud of air to ask him about his time beside Little Stevie of the E Street Band of Bruce Springsteen fame and maybe get some shots there by proxy. But it was an interesting conversation. He was the Baltimore Comedy Factory. He was telling some stories. If you had a good time, let us know. Here we go on Behind the Curtain. Vincent Pastore joined us.
Morning, fellas. Baltimore Comedy Factory. BaltimoreComedy.com.
He's a handsome man.
He's a damn fine
nice
man.
Glasses.
Deep voice, good timber to it.
We're talking about you.
Yeah.
We're on the air.
We're talking about Vincent Pastore. Mike, get our guy all set up over there, bud.
There you go.
There you go.
Yes. Baltimore Comedy Factory all weekend long. You know him as Big Pussy from The Sopranos, Vincent Pastore in studio.
My man.
Good morning. Good morning, Baltimore.
Wow. Good morning. I'm a big fan.
I got up early
for
you guys, man. I really did.
You look great, too.
I got up early for you guys.
Thank you. What time are you normally waking up?
Crawled out of bed. I don't get up this early.
Not this early.
No.
We wouldn't either, trust me.
But I got up early for you guys because I heard you guys are pretty good guys.
We're decent people.
Pretty good guys.
Not the best, but decent.
We're good guys. Funny guys, right?
Decent people. Decent
people. Guys funny? You think you're funny? Funny like how?
Like however you need me to be funny. BP.
Well, you know.
However you need me to be funny, sir.
That's all right. Keep playing us music here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sopranos. You know, I'm going to tell you something. People don't realize that what happened with the impact of the Sopranos. It became unbelievable. Here it is, like 15 years after I did the show.
Is it that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got whacked in 2001.
On the boat, right?
Yeah.
That was a brutal scene, man.
I loved it. And here it is, and I'm still running around, and people still call me Big Pussy.
Do you love it or hate it?
No, I'm kind of like adoring it, because I also went around with a rock and roll band. I hope they bring me down here with my band. My band's traveling around a lot.
What's the band?
It's called the Gangsta Squad.
Nice.
Yeah.
How would you describe the music?
What rock and roll, the same kind of stuff you play here. Right. Classic rock.
What's the most common comment or question you get from people regarding The Sopranos?
They asked me, why did the screen turn to black at the end of the... I'm okay. Like, I'm supposed to know.
Yeah, people are still talking about
that. Well, how am I supposed to know that?
Yeah.
It just... I don't know. I thought my Con Ed went off.
That's what a lot of people thought.
Yeah. Well, I talked to David. You know, we were many, many times...
David Chase?
Yeah, we still get together. Last time I saw David was in December. Little Steven does an annual fundraiser for the police department. Widows and Orphan Fund in New York, and myself, David, Max Weinberg's band's up there.
Nice.
And David said, you know, we were going to do something. We were going to move on. We were talking, and then we lost Jimmy. And he said, no, I don't want to do it now. But he was going to do something, you know, with flashbacks and stuff. You know, so I got a great idea. You want to hear my idea?
Yeah.
Give it to us.
Well, Big Pussy didn't get killed. He ended up over in Little Italy running a little pizza joint. And
held his breath.
Like spinoff or something?
He just took one to the shoulder.
He was working in the kitchen at Moe's over there. He was cleaning out the crabs.
Tony did you a favor and just put one across the neck.
No, he dreamt it. He dreamt that I got killed, but I took off. And all of a sudden, like it's years later, 15 years later, and Paulie Walnuts is the new Don because he survived.
Right.
He finds out I'm down here, and he comes down here looking for me. And I run around with a lot of black people. It's like Joe Gallo back in the 60s. Joe Gallo, when he got out of Attica, he had a black crew. And they come down, and I got my black boys. We go up and up. It could be a good movie, man. You like that idea?
A big war like that?
Yeah. Because I got my crew down here, and they're all black guys, like on the wire, and they're badass.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go up against Paulie Walnuts' crew.
Wow.
What was that?
You want to do that? You don't like
it? I love
it.
We're doing it.
You had the Kings in New York. There was that Christopher Walken film where he got out of prison.
King of New York.
And he had the all black.
People think it's crazy. It's a good idea, man.
Yeah.
Let me ask, how much did you watch the show after you were off?
In fact,
if
you come to the Baltimore Factory Comedy tonight,
Baltimore Factory Comedy,
I'll bring you up on stage and I'll have your audition.
I was going to say, are you doing act outs tonight? Because I heard in through the grapevine, like, you might be bringing up people to do
people
stuff.
I'm bringing people up. I mean, I want them to come up and see, what I usually do when I run around with Johnny, going by Johnny, he's the headliner. They say I'm the headliner, but it's Johnny. Johnny's up there 45 minutes. Is I like to interact with the audience, you know. Mm-hmm. You watch The Sopranos. Who's your favorite character? Oh, Vito? Oh, okay, come on up. Let me see if you could do something like Vito. And, you know, and we have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun with that. We have a little trivia, you know. So that's how I eat up my 15 minutes. Because I don't think, you know. I'm funny. You guys are funny.
What do you think of the whole, like, because, I mean, you're obviously Italian. I'm 50% Italian. I was born.
50? What's the other 50?
Boy, Irish. My father's Irish. My mother's Italian.
Like Bruce Springsteen.
Like, the way, what do you think of, you know, the way the culture has been? Like, I take a little, you know, some pride in it that the way I was born and raised, you know, everybody looks at Italian food and they're like, oh, you got to get this, you got to get that. Yeah. Or, you know, the cannolis and the sfriadels and everything that was... No, I love it. And I'm like, you know, you say, pick up some sfriadels on your way over.
Man. That's
and I love it that that's my culture. But, you know, the way it's kind of been, I don't want to say it's not hijacked is the right word. But
no, there was Sopranos was when that whole argument got kicked off. When is it just like the Guidofication of Italians? Like,
you know,
people were upset
like this.
For a while.
My mother's side of the family kept saying, why are you always playing a gangster? And I say, that's what they were giving me. And that's what they gave me.
It's work.
It's my career is gonna different. I mean, I'm going to go up to Maine. I did a play in New York called Bullets Over Broadway, and I played a gangster. And now we're doing regional, and I'm going up to Maine playing the same guy. This is what they hired me to do. We're not stereotyping. We're just taking a page.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching Bonnie and Clyde the other day.
Yeah, right.
I love that movie. I was watching Bonnie and Clyde. That was a page in the history, like in the 30s during the Depression.
Right.
This is a page in the history of America, of Jersey, of New York, and the mob exists, and people want to be entertained by it.
Yeah.
And it all started with your music you were just playing.
But
with
a lot of people are very sensitive, especially now. Right?
Yeah.
About what?
I mean, they get outraged.
Yeah,
over
everybody's
got to
be outraged about
things.
Something, and it's like, look, everybody relax. Not all Italians are gangsters. The Jersey Shore, not all Italians are Guidos. You know, I love the fact that it's the biggest culture in America that has been raised up.
The reason why they're calling Jersey Shore Guidos is because of that stupid show they had.
That's what I mean. But like, what's second? It's probably the Irish, right? It goes Italian is number one.
About
that, like,
what?
That
about
they came
what?
Here and just the cultures up. In this country that have been, you know, lifted up and put on this, either cinematic pedestal or cuisine.
Irish, Italian.
Yeah, it's Italian,
you're talking
Irish.
You're talking the Ellis Island crew. Basically,
yeah,
people that
see,
came through Ellis Island.
And I love that
we watched
both
The Godfather,
of those
right? We watched The Godfather. We saw the whole immigration process. We saw the struggle in Little Italy.
Right.
We saw what Don Corleone had to do to take care of his neighborhood and the family. Mm-hmm. And that's history. So we're not telling people stories about things that didn't happen.
Let me ask. I've heard this, too, because I love movies. I love television shows, especially stuff like Sopranos, Godfather, Casino, anything Scorsese, that I've heard actors before, particularly De Niro, Pesci, and Pacino get it, that you get legit, real-life mobsters that fall in love with these shows, like The Sopranos, to where they will then reach out to certain actors, a la a Vincent Pastore, and make an offer to maybe spend a little time with you. That's an offer you should definitely take them up on.
Listen, when I did Gotti up in Toronto, I played Angelo Ruggiero. People from the family came up and watched this film.
Oh, man. You know, like when that happens, you know they're in the crowd?
Yeah, but we know who these people are. I'm going to tell you something.
But is it extra pressure?
I wasn't able to play Angelo Ruggiero
without their blessing.
Permission.
Yeah. So you already had that.
John
blessing.
Travolta just did a new version of Gotti. He's been around with John Gotti. You think they're going to go around and let somebody play their father without permission?
So how does that go down? Do you make a phone call or do they call you and you get the blessing?
Here's what happened to me with Gotti. This is true. I thought I had the part, and then I had to go back, and Armand Asante was sitting there, and Armand said, "You think you got the part? You don't have the part." I said, "Well, this director right here told me I had the part," and he says, "It ain't up to him." And right, I was sitting right there, right up to him.
Wow.
So I had to meet somebody.
So you had a meeting?
I had to meet somebody to make sure I could pull off Angelo, and then they gave me my blessings. And
now,
did you
have to like do a second audition for the family?
No, I had to meet him. Like
you
just a meeting. To you guys, you know.
But they go, how you gonna play him? How you gonna play him? How you gonna do it? The most important thing. That's not Angelo. That's not him.
Let me get a word in here.
He wouldn't do that.
Listen, the most important thing is they didn't want you to be disrespectful to the character. That's all.
They didn't ask you to go for a ride.
And you know there was a real big pussy on The Sopranos.
Yeah.
The guy came out of Jersey City. He was tall, thin, and lean.
Okay.
And he used to hang around with Frankie Valli. These people are real, man.
Right.
You know, we're not just coming up with these guys. It was a real big pussy.
And I know we're short on time here.
No, we're not.
Okay.
whatever
he wants.
Blowout sports.
How much research in terms of playing the character do you do?
I mean, a lot.
A lot.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You want to go to dinner? What do you want to do? What are you talking about? Of course you got to do your research. You're going to go up there. Otherwise, you're not going to nail it, man. Any part you play, I got a beard right now. Mm-hmm. You can't tell because I'm on the radio. I'm doing a movie in Hoboken where I play like a guy. He's like, he's washed up, you know? And I figured, because you got a beard too. You look washed up.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so I figured, let me grow the beard. Look a little wild. He's got a beard, but he trims his beard. He's got a sexy beard, you know? Yeah.
Appreciate
but
that.
But you look like you don't shave at all. You need some blades downstairs and CVS. But my point is that you have to get into the research of the characters. Otherwise, you're not paying justice to the characters.
Right.
And by the way, I want to announce that I went for an interview the other day at HB Studios in New York, and I will be teaching starting August of 2017. So you can call me Professor Pussy.
Professor Pussy.
I'm really glad that you guys didn't kick me out of here yet. Am I like on the whole show?
No, you got about another 10-15
minutes.
So why
don't
minutes,
we tell people why I'm here?
Baltimore Comedy Factory all weekend
just
long.
I sports with this guy. By the way, it's really nice to meet you.
Same here.
Baltimore
okay.
Comedy Factory all weekend long. Vincent Pastore.
Not all weekend long.
Well, Friday and Saturday.
Oh, weekend. You're not going to be there
not
Saturday,
too?
Tomorrow I'm going to the aquarium by my granddaughter.
Just tonight?
Tonight, 9
not,
o'clock.
Not Saturday?
And there's seats available. Saturday, no, Saturday night. I think Saturday night I'm going to go see this. Saturday night I'm going to go just think about Donny Hathaway.
Are you really going to the aquarium?
Yeah, with my granddaughter.
So when you go to the aquarium, do you have to stand in line with everybody, or do you get to...
I haven't been there yet.
I was going to say, someone like
special
you, though,
treatment.
A little special
so what
access.
What should I do? Should I call up and say, tell him Luca the Octopus?
No, I don't know.
Because
somebody...
I was Luca the Octopus in Shark Tale, you know.
Somebody either recognizes you and...
Well, if that could help me get ahead of the line, let's do something. Maybe somebody's listening. I'm coming tomorrow in the afternoon with my family.
Yeah.
Don't let me wait online.
Mike,
so,
you know somebody that works
yeah,
there.
Get him
in
the
aquarium.
Oh, he
come
does.
On, give me
wow.
some passes.
Mike knows someone that works
so
with the dolphins.
Said, you know, I'm going to tell you something. It's really something. I took it by my granddaughter, Maya.
Why is your granddaughter here? Is she?
She's coming up. They live in Washington.
Oh, they do? Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it's like I said, you know, I gave her a picture because she doesn't know. I gave her a picture of Luca from Shark Tale, and I signed it. And she said, how do you know Luca? And I said, that's Grandpa. She doesn't
they
get it
They don't make
yet.
The connection, yeah.
I said, that's Grandpa. And then, like, we go someplace for pizza or something. People come up and want to order. Why are they asking you for your picture? So she
doesn't
get it
yet.
Yeah.
Because you're just Grandpa. That's all
because,
you are.
Well,
right?
My daughter won't let her watch Sopranos and all that stuff. Get out of here.
Yeah.
And she can't make the connection that you were
actually, you know,
an animated character.
Actually, I got offered a part in a movie about a month ago, and I was supposed to do some nudity, and I told the director, I can't do this stuff no more. He said, why not? I said, because I don't want my granddaughter to see me do nudity. But the truth of the matter is, who wants to see a 71-year-old guy naked?
I'll see hands. I got no problem.
A lot of hands.
I'll see
him in the air right now.
I'm doing nudity. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
So
not even for you, baby.
Baltimore Comedy Factory tonight, March 31st, only 9:15. It's the wise guys of comedy, Vincent Pastore in studio, Big Pussy from The Sopranos. And you were also saying off air, you were on The Apprentice with Trump.
Yes, I was on The Apprentice with Donald Trump.
So give us a little inside info. What's the Donald like?
Donald was good to me. I had a great time on the show. I had a problem with that guy, Piers Morgan.
Yeah, you quit because of him. You walked off there.
Yeah, he set me up, man. That was a two-hour special. Donald said to me, you know, we went 2 hours because of you. Because we took that show... You know, it's almost like you write your own scenario. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Pierce says, I want you to be a rat. And I said, yeah. And I go with the girls, and I'm ratting with the girls on the girls. But then I told the girls I was a rat. And then they kicked me out. So then I go back to the guys, and they kicked me out. I was a man without a country. And then I walked into the room, and Donald says, what's going on? I said, nobody wants me. And we made it into a two-hour show. But Donald was good to me.
How's he treat the ladies on the show?
$50,000
for your charity.
He gave me $50,000 for the Les Gowden Foundation, and I gave that check to my ex-wife, who's for her. What's the matter? Why are you laughing?
That's pancreatic cancer, right?
Check? Yeah, because her husband died. Her second husband died from that.
Pancreatic's
and I gave
him $50,000.
But Donald was good. How did he treat the ladies?
Yeah.
He got to think for that, what's the black girl, Azamarada or something like that?
Omarosa.
Omarosa.
Yeah,
yeah,
the sorceress.
Oh, man, I think he got a kinky thing with her. I think he got a De Niro thing with
her. Well, she's on of the board. What is she?
She's part of his team.
She's part of his team now as president.
He likes her a lot.
Yeah. Is he the same? Is Trump the same behind the scenes as he is out in
now?
The public eye?
As he is now?
Yeah.
Well, just like off camera, on camera. Like, yeah,
I don't really see the same person now. When he was doing that, he was in the entertainment business. He was producing shows. Mm-hmm. You know, he was warm to everybody. And now I kind of feel like you can't get to him, you know?
He's the president. He's probably going to be behind a layer of security.
But don't you think if I called up the White House and I said, Big Pussy wants to talk to you, he won't talk to me now? I don't think he'll talk to me, man.
You don't think he would?
I don't know. Call him up.
He'd take that call.
You
think
he'd
take that call? Mm-hmm. Hey, Donald, this is Big Pussy. What's going on, man? Why don't you let me run the arts and entertainment division down there? Why did you take all that money away?
I think he has the same
talk to his ass.
I think he has the same assistant.
Same what?
The same assistant that he had all his
years.
Well,
I'll tell you something. I was running around with this Republican, and he said to me, if Donald wins, you could bring your band, because my band was playing at the events. You could bring your band down there. And what happened is that they were thinking of bringing my band down there, and my daughter, who's very liberal, uh-oh, lives in Washington, and her husband said, you're not bringing your band down here to the inaugural. So I had to say no.
Wow. Now let's talk about James Gandolfini. And
Jimmy?
Jimmy.
Yeah.
He left us. How long ago did he leave us?
2013.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, the phone call was devastating. Michael called me, Imperioli. Mm-hmm. He was in California, and he said, we lost Jimmy. I said, yeah, I heard. And
so how did you got the phone call, but how did you
hear? Tony Darrow called me, who's on The Sopranos, and I didn't believe him. And he got mad at me. He said, why would I make something like this up? And then Michael called me from L.A., and the next thing you know, we're all at this church in Harlem, and there was 2,500 people there.
Yeah.
2,500. I mean, you had major stars, and you had a lot of people, a lot of fans, and it was amazing. It was like, you know, putting the Pope to sleep.
And here's what happens, that, like, through no fault of anybody, but, you know, with a show like The Sopranos that was on for so long, it was so big. Yeah. We see James Gandolfini as Tony Soprano,
yeah,
right? And that's just what happens. But, you know, away from the camera, yeah, completely 180
opposite.
Yeah, a whole
other body of work.
No, not even the work, just the man himself.
Yeah, what he did with the Wounded Warriors.
Yeah.
He went to Iraq with Tony Sirico twice.
Mm-hmm.
He produced a lot of stuff. He was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful actor. But what happens is that we go on in life, you know, after we're gone, and we have this, they give you this image, and that's,
right,
you know, like, Telly Savalas will always be Kojak, and Peter Falk will always
Columbo.
Be Columbo.
The iconic
Tony
role.
Soprano. Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy Gandolfini will always be Tony Soprano, and yours truly will always be Big Pussy. What the hell are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Nothing at all. I mean, no. I'm going to support you
in every endeavor.
That's what it is.
He was very generous, I read, to the people just on the cast, right?
Let me tell you a story. He gets a raise. All of a sudden, the main guys, there's about eight of us, the main people, they all get a check for $20,000 from Jimmy's production company.
Wow.
Why did he gave us all $20,000, about 10 people. Why did he do that? Because that's Jimmy,
see?
You know. And when he got a raise 1 year, and the other guys weren't getting raises, he says, "I'm not going back to work until everybody else gets a raise."
I remember that. That
he
was,
wouldn't go back to work. So that was Jimmy. That was Jimmy. Yeah. And one of the things I loved about working with Jimmy is that, you know, when you're doing television, they give you one take, two take, and they say, "Boom, that's it. Let's move on." And Jimmy say, "Are you happy? You like what you did? You sure? You want to move on?" He had that much control. You want to move? Vinny, how do you feel? And the day the Emmys came out, he called me up in the morning about 7 o'clock in the morning after they announced the Emmys, and he said, "Vinny, it's Jimmy. You got robbed." He wanted me to get nominated. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the guy. I miss him a lot.
Let me ask, when you were filming the show, when did you find out, because you were a fixture of the main crew, you and Paulie and Tony and everybody else on there, when did you crack open the script for the first time and realize, I'm getting whacked?
Well, between the first season and the second season, when we went a break, David Chase called me up and he said, because my character took off, you know, he couldn't find the guy.
Yeah.
He said, there's a lot of interest on the internet about where's Pussy. So he says, this is what we're going to do. Because they didn't even write the second season yet. They had a, you know, treatment, but they didn't write it. He says, you're going to be the main guy. It's going to be you, but you're going to get killed. Mm. So I never knew what episode I was going to get killed in, you know. So every time I get a script, I said, am I going to get killed this week? And I would look at it, and he let me, I got killed in the last episode. So at least I got a year out of that one.
Was it heartbreaking? Did you want to see that character continue on?
Yeah,
Were you happy with the arc? Well, I mean, obviously, the paycheck stopped.
No, you know what I say to people, and this is true. What I was able to achieve in those 2 years, maybe I couldn't have done that if I stayed on for 4 or 5. I think the character was stronger because of what happened. Nobody ever thought that in television history, a main guy was going to get killed. They thought they were going to put me in witness protection or something. So that impact, I think, helped create my journey after that. Because when I was done with that show, I went to Hollywood, and I was working like crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Mike Anderson, what's up?
Well, I'm wondering, Vincent, I was watching the scene a minute ago. What's it like filming a death scene like that with the guns blazing? You got squibs popping on your chest. Yeah. What's that feel like? I mean,
you know, it's something, you know, it's like a question you would ask me in my acting workshop.
That, yeah, that's exactly you know,
right. Professor Pussy.
That's a perfect question.
Mike's an artist. That's
you know, how do you see? How do you? What do you do? What do you? You actually have to feel like you're going, like you're dying. You got to feel that. You know,
I mean, that look on
you. You
got
to feel like you got shot. You got to feel like it's your moment. You have to believe that's happening to you.
Wow.
Otherwise, it's not going to work.
In a show that I love that started good and fell off, there was a character on that show, Sons of Anarchy, a guy named Opie, big bearded dude.
You didn't like that? My boy Chuck Zito was on.
Started great. Yeah. Ended whatever. But the reason I bring it up is that there was a pretty heavy-duty death scene in that where they hit play, they record the whole thing, cut, everyone's crying off set. People are busted up because they know their friend is now done with the show.
Well, so that's what happened with me.
I was going to ask, what was the crew's reaction when they're not going to see their buddy Vincent around
cut,
anymore?
Yeah,
right? Well, Jimmy and Little Steven was upset. And Little Steven and I became very close. His wife and I have a theater company in New York, and I always work with Little Steven. Little Steven was upset, but Tony Sirico, who I knew before that, he was actually fighting with one of the producers. Why you got to do this to a guy? Why are we getting rid of him? This is stuff. You know, I know it's television, but the guy needs a paycheck. Everybody was upset. They were upset. And Jimmy, and they came over and they gave me, I get this thing at home. It was a humidor. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy came over and he put this humidor. I'm laying on the ground, you know, because I don't want to move, you know, for the next take with the squibs coming out. And he put this thing on my chest. It was a humidor. And inside were all these great cigars. And it was the humidor on the, there was a thing. From all of us, you know, a little thing, it was an experience. Yes,
it's Vincent Pastore. He's going to be at the Baltimore Comedy Factory tonight.
But I'm not going to be depressing like this.
No, this is great stuff.
Oh, this is fascinating.
The wise guys.
Oh, it's cold.
How often do you get a chance to talk to somebody from one of the greatest television shows in history? So you got to get. You got to get.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm really impressed with coming on 98 Rock and talking to you three guys because you guys know your stuff.
And tonight, Kirk McEwen, our afternoon guy, 3 to 7. Kirk McEwen on 98 Rock is the host tonight. So you're going to meet Kirk. It's Vincent Pastore and it's Kumbaa Johnny.
Dude, he's my host.
He's your host. Phenomenal.
He's great, dude.
Oh,
he's
good.
You're in for a good night with a great dude.
Heavyweight. Took my job away.
I don't know. It says right here.
No, I know. He's hosting, and I'm going up, and I'm going to do. What I think I'm going to do tonight is really participate with the audience because they love that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if you were there, I would have you do some improvisations. Like, I would have you play Vito from The Sopranos.
Okay. Well, he'd be part of the Jewish mafia.
Because you look like Vito. No, he looks like Vito, and I would ask him, how did it feel with that pool cue?
It was very painful.
Yeah, see? Okay.
But he liked
That's about as far as we can go on FM radio.
Oh, please have someone reenact the Ralph Cifaretto beaten to death scene.
Uncut head.
Oh, I can't even. I hate Joe Pantoliano to this day for what he did to that horse. I hate him as a person, even though it's not his fault and it's totally
and the
fictional.
Too. He beat up the hooker.
He beat the hooker up. He killed the horse. Yeah, and what Tony did to him.
You know, Joey Pants
I was
is a
sexually
great guy,
aroused by that man's death.
If you had Joey Pants on the show this morning, he would go like this. You would say, Joey, how do you feel today? He would go like this. I'm not happy. And you would say, what are you not happy? He says, I'm depressed. He wrote a book about how he's depressed all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of what he did to the horse?
No, I don't know what he did to the horse. I mean, he makes money and everything. He was in some great movies. He was in The Fugitive. He was in Eddie and the Cruises. I mean, he goes back.
He turned on everybody in The Matrix.
You know, right.
He was that
but
piece
he,
of garbage.
But he says he's always depressed. Whenever I go up to him, he's, how you doing, Joey? I'm depressed. And I said, okay.
All right, good
Take
to catch
a happy
up.
Pill. Do something, man.
Hey, go check it out.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So, Joshy, yesterday, Larry Lancaster, who's a good friend of the show, local comedian, comes in, and we were talking about the TSA.
Yeah.
You'll hear coming up, we tried to reach out to the TSA to have them come on, do a little equal time, talking about the pat-down. Larry Lancaster, comedian, says that he's a corrections officer. He had to actually do pat-downs.
Yeah.
And he gave you a rather thorough pat-down. That's some of the most contact I've ever seen you let somebody have with you outside of the occasional awkward fan hug.
I wanted to see what it was like for the average citizen and prisoner to be patted down by a professional.
And it's awesome!
I also have to tip my hat to you because you didn't ask a question that I expected you to, which is classic, which is...
the question about whether you hear the screams of men at
That's
night.
That's the one. Prison. Yes.
Because I think I asked him before, but I didn't think I'd get the answer I wanted.
You know what I'll do for you? I'm going to put together a little supercut of a show that I also referenced that day called Sons of Anarchy, where it seemed like whenever they cut to a shot of one of the motorcycle club, the MC, Sam Crow, there was always a shot of two men having violent prison sex
right.
that added nothing to the plot whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was just two guys swapping some drugs off or maybe planning a hit. And then if you just kind of look over the left shoulder, there's two guys enjoying each other's company on the bunk beds.
Added nothing to the plot, but it added a to my pants.
Oh, my God.
Hot.
Jeez.
Hot.
Larry Lancaster got to second base with Josh. Coming up.
We went and done did it again, ladies and gentlemen. We done did it again.
Yeah, we went and done did it.
Causing problems. What's up, Lair? Have a seat. We're on the air. Larry Lancaster, join in on the conversation.
Larry, we went and done did it.
We talk about TSA. Come on.
We'll tell you. Larry, we went and done did it. We'll tell you.
Earlier in the week, did you see the video of the kid getting frisked by the TSA?
Yes, I
What'd
saw
you think?
Him being fondled.
Yeah, thank you. Here, here, sir. Here, here.
You think he was fondled?
I thought, sometimes, man, you got to exercise common sense. I mean, a kid had on like a damn swimsuit.
No, he didn't. He had on a t-shirt.
He had on a t-shirt and shorts. I'm exaggerating, but so was the TSA agent.
Okay, you think it was a little bit much?
Yes, it was a little bit much, especially for what he had on.
I was going to say, you didn't find a bomb in his ass the first 10 passes?
Right.
Let me get it one more time just to make sure.
I worked in the prison.
I know you did. That's why I'm asking
you. We didn't check the inmates that well.
Wow.
Well, here's what happened. So we go, we do the story. Mm-hmm. I go and lose my nuts about it because the TSA and I have had a Crips and Blood style feud for years.
Really?
I've told them, blow out everyone. Everyone and start over. I get why they have them. It's a needed service.
Right.
But you travel. You're a comedian. You head through airports all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You see the TSA. Either they're giving you the most slapdash, why did you even bother touching me, pat down, quote unquote. Or you get this dude who...
The cavity search.
The guy, and I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. If you, I give you a piece of paper and a pencil, I say, draw me a kid toucher. You're going to draw this
dude. He should have had to... Had to register as a sex offender to add to that pattern.
Well, I always ask for the cavity search, and I never seem to get it.
Yeah,
so.
Scott's constantly running through security bare-assed butt first. Yeah. So people start coming to their defense, and Scott makes a good point. He's like, hey, why don't we reach out to the TSA, get their side of the story?
So and of course, they don't have phones. No, they have phones. Sorry.
So our crack producer, of course, Mike, tracks down the person and sends off an email. Larry? Just like a nice little email, like, hey.
Right, they're not going to come into hostile territory and try to explain it.
Well, that's the thing. I think we are.
There's always a statement at something.
I went too hard, damn it.
We're always considered, you know, we're definitely,
now,
for
say,
them, we're definitely considered hostile territory,
I will
right?
say this. They had a good point. If they don't do enough, then they're criticized if something happens.
They do too much.
Then when they do too much, they of course, criticized. They're criticized. But you got to exercise common sense. You got a kid.
See, I thought it was just the right amount.
Oh. A white kid from middle America.
Hear, hear.
I mean.
My favorite type of kid.
Let's not make it a race thing, Larry.
And special needs.
A lot of times it is.
I thought it was just
the
right amount
of time. Don't waste your time with him.
So we sent off an email. Now, Mike, you found Lisa Farbstein.
T-shirt.
Lisa Farbstein.
Farbstein?
Yeah, she's the PR person for
it
the
says,
that sounds like a name I'd make.
Office of Public Affairs, Transportation Security Administration. Mike writes, hi, Lisa. Earlier this week, we got into a big discussion about a video that went viral this week of a young boy being patted down. We were wondering if we might be able to discuss this on our show. Thank you for your consideration. Thanks, Mike Anderson.
Well-crafted email, Mike.
Mm-hmm. I bet you Lisa Farbstein has eyeglasses and a briefcase.
Couldn't ask for more from my producer. Perfect email. Found
good job.
Person
Mike.
Very quickly fired this off quickly.
Same day was requested.
Lisa's response: hi, we posted a blog about it. Here's the blog with the info for your use, with a link, and that's it.
Go screw yourself, basically.
Pretty much.
Well, Mike then responds.
Well, Mike, because Mike, you know, asks, can we talk about, you know, come on and discuss it on the show. She just says, hey, we put a blog up about it. Here's the link.
Gotcha.
So then Mike writes, thanks, Lisa. So is that a no to coming on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Question mark? Lisa's response. Correct. Period.
Oh. Yeah, the period's what always gets you.
The period. Correct.
Correct. Real
correct.
Sassy.
Correct. That's
that
a no.
Almost has a little sexual tension to it.
You think there's second?
It's like when you... It's like when you and a person had a sexual history, but y'all don't mess with each other anymore. So it's like, we're going to keep it short.
So will you be there this weekend? I will. I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'll see
Take
you.
Care. Good luck with
hell
everything.
Hell no, I won't see you.
Yes.
But you know, they say it's hard to pick up on tone in like emails and texts. Oh, I picked up.
It ain't hard to pick up on that at all.
No.
Hell no.
I pick right up on this tone.
When she said, refer to the blog, basically, that's set the tone right there.
Yeah, kiss off. Like, I get it if you have the blog up there for the general public to consume as to why it happened, but you have a chance in one shot to hit hundreds of thousands of people.
And explain yourself.
Explain yourself. You are the public, what is it? Where's the title, you numbed skull? The Office of Public Affairs for the Transportation Security Administration. This is the woman they have in charge mm-hmm. of their public affairs, mm-hmm. and she's just blowing people mm-hmm. off.
No.
This woman needs to be fired. And
get her out.
Have you checked your emails?
Oh.
Have you checked your email that Mike sent you?
I have not.
About this woman's transgressions from years past.
Well.
WashingtonTimes.com, 2015.
Ooh, Lisa Farbstein, TSA spokeswoman, ripped for tweeting. Let's see what old Farbstein...
Ripped for tweeting a photo of a passenger's bag containing $75,000 in cash. There's a giant story about her in the Washington Times from 2015.
That?
She said, she tweets, if you had $75,000 in cash, is this how you transport it? Just asking. TSA spotted this traveler's preferred method. And she tweeted out a photo of this. And she's still employed. This is for 2015, and she's been riding this gig out for another 2 years.
You went with Farbstein? Oh, she looks like a real piece of work, too. She's standing in front of a jet engine. Oh, yeah.
You want to see her?
Oh, yeah. I got Farbstein pulled up.
But here's what I'll say.
There.
Oh, yeah.
Real battle axe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She looks like a high school social studies teacher.
Oof. Oh, look at Farbstein.
I love all the photos.
She looks like the cat lady.
They have a ton of photos of her just standing in front of piles of scissors and knives.
Just looking at it with this little smirk on her face like, we got you.
All the stuff they've confiscated, she's just standing in front of piles of knives.
How many times in her life has she uttered, well, that's where you're wrong?
Yeah. Look, she has like a cardboard box that
she
brings.
Kind of looks like the guy that just left from The Sopranos.
She has the cardboard box that she brings around with her filled with all the confiscated items. You could have brought your box up here. You could have came up here with your box, dumped it right out on our table here, talked about the TSA. You could have maybe flipped the script and changed the perception that everybody has for the TSA. Isn't that her job?
You are the spokesperson, your public relations. Convince me that I was wrong. Make me see the light. Change my opinion. That's your job.
No, she just goes, kiss off.
You know what
it
was? Her tone was, you guys are beneath me and I don't have to explain.
Exactly right, Larry. And that's why she needs to be fired.
I'm at such a high level that I don't even have to justify our actions.
That's why she needs to be reprimanded.
Here's what people don't understand. When you work in security, sometimes you do things that people without that knowledge base may not understand.
You know
so
what?
When you explain it to them, then they say, okay, I thought it was a little bit much or far-fetched, but now that you give me an explanation, I can see why you do these
That's
things.
All we wanted.
That's it.
You know,
I had to do the same thing when I worked in corrections.
I'm glad you brought that up because we're going to jump for sports, come back, Larry Lancaster, Magoobies. I'd like to continue to talk to you about your time incarceration. You said that you
don't
didn't
say it
give.
Like that.
You didn't give. Okay,
I wasn't incarcerated. I feel like that was a racial slur.
Damn it! I always do this.
The black guy had to go to jail.
Larry Lancaster, buddy, you've seen some stuff, dude.
Can I ask you guys something?
Yeah.
Why is this goddamn Roots music playing while I'm talking?
This is the theme to Oz on HBO, okay. One of the greatest prison dramas of all time.
It sounds real ethnic all of a sudden.
Now, if I put on like some Ladysmith Black Mambazo, or something, hey,
you could have put on like Barry Manilow or something.
Well, it's very fitting because you used to be a corrections officer.
Yes,
follow
sir.
Our lead, please.
Yeah, okay.
There's a method to the chaos.
You guys always try to spin something.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the TSA earlier in the week with the pat down
yes.
of the boy.
Yes.
And there was outrage. So we reached out to the TSA. We reached out to Lisa Farbstein. If you want to send her an email and tell her to suck it, please feel free.
Oh, God.
Mike sent an email like, hey, you know, we were just wondering if you'd love to come on the air. Would I like to come on the air with us and discuss that video that went viral? And then she writes, hi, we posted a blog about it. Here's the blog with the info for your use. And then Mike writes back, oh, does that mean, is that a no to coming on the show? And then she writes a one-word response, correct.
So she told you guys to suck it.
pretty much.
With a DX crotch chop thrown in for good measure.
You know, is there a more hated organization in government? I mean, they got to be top five, right?
They're up there.
Yeah, top five for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, the TSA. So here's an opportunity for this woman to maybe clear their name a little, shed some light onto what they do, maybe change our mind.
Yes.
And she just gives us the big middle finger and tells us to kiss off.
Doing no favors for your brand.
No, Lisa Farbstein, the Office of Public Affairs for the Transportation Security Administration. And
that's
so
her job to explain these things.
Office of Public Affairs. Right, right.
Like, I got it. She was one of the people down there at BWI having to cattle herd these people through. By the end of the day, you got to be so brain fried, you want to be left alone for 48 hours. Her job is to clear this crap up.
They speak for these people.
And one of the reasons that I was, you know, playing the odd stuff, talking to you, you made a comment leading into this that said when you were like a prison security and you were patting down inmates.
I was a corrections officer.
Corrections
sir.
Officer, sir. Officer Larry. Officer
Let's
Larry.
Get it straight, goddamn it.
You were. You said you didn't pat people down in depth.
We did it, but everyone understood why we did it. You know, it was for the protection and security of the institution.
What did you find? What did you find? Some stuff? Did you find some things?
Yeah, find shanks, drugs, all kind of stuff.
But you also said you found yourself in the position of the TSA where this video gets out, right? And there's people that don't understand why they do these things the way they do or to the extent that they do. So you found yourself in because in the back of your mind, you know that you have 10 steps you need to accomplish to make sure everything's clear. You know exactly why you're touching the person here, why you're touching the person here.
Quit squirming, Curtis!
How much you need to touch, how in-depth you got to go. You know, you've been through training.
Right.
So you know you're doing these things. But if somebody's just watching you do it, they don't know the whys.
And so you explain it. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. One time I worked in I was in charge of a section. And this guy was banging on the wall. Like, they'll see women walk past, and they'll bang on the windows.
Whoa.
To get their attention.
Yeah.
And so I told him, don't bang on the walls or the windows. And he was like, man, you just want to tell people what to do? Like, what? And once I explained to him why you can't bang on the walls or the windows, you know what he said? Okay, I didn't think of it that way, but I got
it. Well, now, what is the reason?
The reason was, if you hear loud banging, you're supposed to investigate it because someone could be chiseling through the damn wall.
Oh, jeez.
Or trying to take out the window. So once I explained it to him in that light, which, of course, he didn't have the training. He didn't understand that. But with that perspective, he was like, okay, I can get that. And then so he complied.
Right.
So that's the thing with explaining yourself.
We gave this woman an opportunity.
It helps with compliance.
Yeah.
Did you see some, like, Shawshank Redemption quality, like someone trying to chisel out behind the poster type stuff?
Yeah, Larry, don't tell me someone snuck out on your watch, Larry. Don't tell me
they didn't wiggle a bar out.
I always had perfect attendance, guys.
Okay, good.
39 when I showed up, 39 when I left.
And Larry, I'm wondering, before you leave today, could you give us your standard pat down on, like, Spiegel?
Yeah, you want to pat down Spiegel right now?
Provided Spiegel has had his bath this week.
Yeah, he showers every morning.
I don't want to leave here smelling like chicken.
Show us what that looks like.
Do it on me.
Really?
Yes. What?
You guys really want to see it?
We didn't get Lisa Farbstein from the TSA didn't come up and explain it to us. We need somebody to. You're the closest we got.
Larry Lancaster from the TSA.
Come on, get up. Spiegel, come around.
Feel him up.
I think Spiegel's
is
going to enjoy
ready.
This.
I've never seen
his nipples spring
up. So, his nipples. I've never seen him spring up so fast.
$1 rotary phone with those nipples.
This is educational.
His nipples look like middle fingers.
All right, take it.
So Larry was a former corrections officer. Spiegel's got the arms up. Okay. Here, Larry, come over here. Wait, bring him up.
Larry Lancaster standing behind Josh Spiegel. Josh Spiegel has his arms up in the air, and he's going to give him a pat down.
As close to this as you can.
There you
That's what she said. Okay, so I would have him put his arms out.
You're standing behind him.
I would stand behind
Check
him.
Check his ass.
I would have him open his fingers, because a lot of times what happens is people will have stuff in their hands
Spread
while you're
checking. Oh, so you can't have a closed fist. No closed fist.
No closed fist. So I would start to the back, run my fingers down. Come on.
Oh, that's nice.
Under the arms.
Straight down.
Go straight down the sides. Come around.
Ooh.
Start at the belly button.
Yeah.
In the middle section.
Uh-huh.
Come around the waistband.
Check
like
that
so.
Ass.
Go around.
Ooh.
I'm feeling Spiegel's crack right now.
Yeah.
No, that's not the crack.
She called him Nino Brown. There's so much crack back here. Then I'll go to the pockets.
Oh!
Okay.
Check the pockets.
Yeah.
Then I'll go to the back, check the back pockets. Then I'll go back to the hips, go down the side.
Lift up his walnuts.
To the ankles.
Down at the ankles.
Uh-huh. Oh, there he goes.
I might go, you know, pay close attention to those and make sure he's not hiding anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll come up.
The inside, baby.
The inside.
Josh, yeah. You've never farted, but if there was a time, right now is it.
Now I'll go to another leg. I'll use both hands on each side of his leg. Go
straight up.
When I get to the groin.
The groin.
Ooh, yeah.
Hold on. I can't hear you. What? Turn the music down.
I'll put my forearm
on.
Whoa. The forearm move is killer.
Yeah.
Damn, you put the forearm in the crack between the balls and the thigh.
Then go to the next leg. Come up.
Forearm.
Oh.
Bam.
And that's it. Okay. What about, because the guy on the TSA, he spent a lot of time going around the waistband.
Hop back on that.
That's because now people can make clothing where they can
hide stuff in the waistband,
and it can sew stuff in.
Now, when you're doing that to somebody, that's already a person who's an inmate, so they're just wearing the prison jumpsuit, right? Or are those incoming people?
Well, you don't really check the people. Mm. You go through the bags and stuff like that. But
I
you
got
don't
next.
Really, you don't frisk search civilians.
Oh, mm. God.
Good. So how many times they use the old prison wallet?
You
the
know,
old prison
the
wallet.
The old prison wallet.
Oh, the, that goes up your booty?
The old meat wallet.
The sandwich bag?
Oh. You ever had to explore that?
Sometimes when they come back from a visit, you do a strip search.
Oh, yeah.
The old sheriff's
and that's to make sure. Mm-hmm. And when I first got there, because I was new, that's the duty they give you.
You had to do them all.
So you're like in a phone booth with a convicted felon.
What?
Who's and this like is a three dude times your size.
Who doesn't like nude. Being touched.
And they talk. They talk trash to you. So you go home to your wife, and you tell her you look up people's asses for a living. You got to say this stuff to you while you search.
Did any inmate ever say to you before the search, I don't want you to use lube?
Oh, God.
No, they never said that.
Okay.
Speed.
All right.
Can I ask what type you used? Was it
that
was
never
it
happened.
Standard so they, petroleum jelly?
What they try to do is talk you out of doing your job. So you have to be mentally strong and just ignore that. And go with
was there anybody that was ever a little too eager beaver for you to give him a once over?
Oh, yeah.
No. Kind of arch that back a little bit, stick it up in your face.
No, never
Hi,
had.
I'm Mike Honcho. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Larry Lancaster. God. I love
never
it.
Had that experience.
A fascinating
guys.
Individual. He was a corrections officer, but he's a comedian.
Yes.
And he's hilarious.
And one of the best the East Coast has ever put out. So yeah. See him this weekend.
McGoobie's Joke House all weekend long. Kind. It's going to be a lot funnier than this was. He'll actually tell jokes.
That was great.
That was great.
Very delicate hands.
You forget
guys
that
set
a
me up
comedian.
For a pat down instead of bits. So yeah. We went with that.
Yeah, we went with that. Mm. Larry, where can people find you online?
You can look me up, comedian Larry Lancaster. Email. I'm not really the social
tell.
Media guy.
I can tell,
my
Larry.
Manager does all that stuff, but I'm on Instagram, Twitter,
bad.
Which I never tweet.
We got to get Josh a cigarette.
Yeah, Josh is really
I'm good.
Excited.
I'm good. It was very educational.
Yeah, sure,
very
Josh.
Educational.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere. No, I'm just kidding. You're free to leave.